जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान अभयचरण अरविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू शील प्रभुपाद नमाम शुभपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूतले श्रीमद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनिनां अध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोस्तु देव्यास विशालबुद्धे मुल्लारविन्दायुधपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्नभार्यादाय त्वोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वौपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसच्चानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतडाजयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तककेशवा पाराशर्यवज सरोजमलम गीदाथ गंधोत्कटम नानाख्यानकेसरम हरिकथ संबोधनाभोदिदम लोकई सज्जन शल्पदैरहर पेबीयमानम मुदा भूयाद् भारत पंगज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः सांगपदैः क्रम उपनिषदैर्गायन्दियं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्दियं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द प्रजाहादि यदा कामान् सर्वान् पार्थ मनोगतान् आत्मन्यो आत्मनतुष्ट स्थित प्रज्ञस्तदोच्यते कृष्ण सेज द फर्स्ट क्वालिफिकेशन ऑफ ए स्थित प्रज्ञत्वम कम्स फ्रॉम दैट वन हू कैन गिव ऑल गिव अप ऑल डिजायर्स राइट विच मीन्स बेसिकली द माइंड इटसेल्फ हैज टू गो बेसिकली इन स्ट्रिक्ट टर्म्स माइंड मीन्स डिजायर्स डिफरेंट डिजायर्स राइट चित्तवृत्तीस So, if you remove all the chittavrittis, then there is no thing called mind. Mind doesn't exist. Mind is a movement inside happening as something that cannot be defined very precisely, a power, and it creates desires, basically. And three ways, it says sangalpam, then bhavana, imaginations, and then, if not, sleep. So, sleep, which means basically vikshepam layam. It's another way of saying in Vedantam, they call it as vikshepam and layam, right? So, if one is not able to, mind is not able to grasp something or comprehend something, it will fall into the layam mood. It will fall asleep. It's always like that. When the mind cannot grasp something, it will fall into sleep. Mind knows its limitations. So that is why you see in satsangam people fall to sleep sometimes, because something, what has been spoken, mind is not able to capture that, grasp it, right? So it will try very hard for some time to grasp it, but then it didn't happen, then gradually it will fall into that layam mood. It will move into that. But the important thing Krishna is pointing out here is that behind this mind, what you are grasping things, with this mind what you are grasping things, behind that there is a perfect thing which is the soul, Antaryami, right? And that is Purnavastu. And that you cannot capture with the mind, never. Mind can capture everything in the world outside, but it is never able to capture that power behind the mind, which is giving the power to the mind. That mind won't be able to capture that. Right? When the mind completely surrenders or disappears or dissolves into the Antaryami, then that Purna Vastu, Antaryami, will manifest itself, and and then you will realize that that Vastu, Antaryami, is Purnam, perfect in everything. And so that is why this inquiry about this mind is important, in the sense that as much as if you allow this mind to grow, and if you allow this mind and accepting the mind and doing the sadhana, it will keep giving us trouble. All the great personalities have agreed with all these things. This is not anything new, in the sense that Krishna is also saying in the Bhagavad Gita throughout about this, mano durnigraham chalam, Krishna is saying that. Isn't it very difficult to overcome? But then it has to overcome. We have to overcome that, right? It'll keep giving us trouble. In Shivananda Lahari, I was saying yesterday, there is this famous word, sada mohadavyam charadi yuvatinam kuchagirav nadati natadi asha shaktas vatadi jedidi swayam abhida kapalin bhikshome hrudaya kapim atyanta chapalam dridam bhaktya badhva shiva bhavad adhinam kuru vibho. Acharya Swamiji compared this mind with a monkey. It is like a monkey, he says, that that Lord Shiva takes bhiksha, is bhikshamdehi, and he says to Lord Shiva, I have got a monkey in my mind, and he is very flickering. He's not like an ordinary monkey, he's a very special monkey, he says. And monkeys normally are known for their madness, running here, running there, doing all sorts of things, totally unstable, unsteady. So if there is a monkey, and if the monkey gets bitten by a scorpion, what will happen? It will get worse than that, right? And apart from that, the monkey got drunk as well. So it has got bitten by a scorpion and it has got drunk as well. So in addition to that, some ghost has got into the monkey's body. So when all these things have happened, what he is saying, comparing that with the we have, comparing our mind with the desires, it has affected the mind. Desires is like the alcohol. We are drunk with the desires. We are drunk with the desires. The effect of the desires on us is like a drunken monkey. Then the distress in life is the scorpion that has bitten us. And then this ghost called the Bhudam or Ahangaram, that has also got inside us. So with this monkey, which is this mind, with what rope can you tie it down, a monkey who is like this, with all these three? Ahangaram inside, And similarly, alcohol has gone in and the scorpion has bitten. Distress is the scorpion and the desires are the alcohol and ahankaram is the ghost. All these three things combinedly attacked our mind. So, how do I, with which rope should I tie this monkey? Ajahnya Swamiji is saying to Lord Shiva, right? I have to tie it down with bhakti only. There is no other alternative. Bhakti means what? If we separate ourselves, Andaryami, if we are able to break away from this mind, then it becomes bhakti. In other words, not emotions as such. Emotions has some bhakti bhavam in there. It is one of the bhavam of the bhakti. Bhakti here, what he is referring to is that able to, as soon as possible, as quickly as possible, able to surrender this mind to Krishna and says to him, this mind is not mine, it is yours. If you say that to Krishna, it is bhakti. It is bhakti, right? Then, whatever way the mind, whatever it does, then it is not your problem. Then it is Krishna's problem. Therefore, this surrendering the mind to Krishna, you will see that in mentioned in the Bhagavadam, is it not? In so many places. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayor vachamsi vaikunda gunanu varnani. Ambarish Maharaj says that. And similarly, Vritrasura says the same thing. Everyone, all devotees says this, I hand over this mind to you. You take care of it. I cannot control it, right? So, one devotee, he came to Paramahamsa and told him, no matter what sadhana I do, this mind is not coming under control. So, Paramahamsa gave him different types of sadhana. And even though he did all that, the mind is not coming under control. So, one day he was crying in front of Paramahamsa and says to him, I have done so much chanting, japam, then dhyanam, but mind is not coming under control. Paramahamsa told him that, you have tried your maximum, haven't you? He said, yes, right? So, and you sure now that you cannot control the mind? He said, yes, but then you do one thing, hand over that mind to me, he said. And how will you give that? You cannot do it any other way except that surrender thing, right? So what he did was, you take some water and say that I'm handing over mine to you and pass it on to me, he said, that water. So he did that. And the next day, still he was saying that the mind is not coming under control. He said to Paramahamsa, right? So Paramahamsa told him that, you have gave it to me yesterday, and then only thing is it is operating inside your body, but it is not anymore yours. It belongs to me now. Therefore, whether it has to remain in a fickle condition, in a disturbed state, or it has to stay in a peaceful state, and what kind of thought should come in that, I will decide that, not you, he said. So, you should not make any complaint anymore about your mind. It is my property, he said. So, when Paramahamsa said this to him, immediately he got an insight within himself. From that moment onwards, that he has broken his connection with his own mind. So, whenever mind becomes agitated or disturbed, immediately he will remind the mind that I have handed you over to Paramahamsa. Now it is up to him to control you. I cannot do anything with you, right? So, when you start thinking it is my mind, that is when the mind gives you a lot of trouble. Mind gives more trouble, right? So once you break your connection with the mind by handing it over to Krishna, whatever that comes in the mind, all the thoughts, emotions, everything, if you give it to that, to Krishna, that... In Vedantam, the difference between bhakti process and Vedantam is like this. In Vedantam, we will say that mind is not mine. I am not the mind. Like we say, I am not the body, I am not the mind. We will say like that in the Vedantam. But in the bhakti process, you will say in a different way. You will say, I have handed it over to Krishna. It is Krishna's mind, not mine. In that way. So, even then, it will give you some trouble. But even though it gives you trouble, the material suffering will come down. Material existence, suffering from material existence. Because when you start thinking it is mine, it is because of that distress is affecting too much. Too much distress you feel because when you think it is mine. Once you say it is not mine, it is Krishna's, then the disturbances in the mind won't affect you so much, right? So, in the world, when you see the suffering of others, we feel sometimes compassion for that, right? But disturbances, what comes to us, you won't feel it in the same way, right? So, even if your mind is having some problems, right, if you have accepted that, you have handed that over to Krishna, then you have to keep reminding this to yourself, that the mind is not yours anymore. Krishna is controlling the mind. Just like a tablet, you have to put it inside this knowledge, right? Both the body and the mind is Krishna's, not mine anymore. And that is why, Kayena Vacha Manasendriyerva, that famous verse, it is coming from that. Udhyalpanava Prakriti Subhaval. So, Karomi Yadyal Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayadi Samarpayami. So, body, mind, senses, all these things is Krishna's property then. So, now and then, you got to remind Krishna that, and you have to control it, everything, from inside. I am not able to. Saying this, you have to hand over the responsibility to Krishna. And there is not good enough just memorizing the verse, but practically you have to practice it on a regular basis, right? That is the most critical thing in this is, mind and the body should be surrendered or handed over to Krishna, right? After that, I don't have any responsibility. It is Krishna's responsibility. Then what happened? When uncontrolled of, when the mind is under the control of ahankaram, ego, it will cause trouble for us. When ahankaram controls the mind, you will have problems, right? But when it is controlled by the antaryami, you become free from the trouble, right? It will slowly, you will see the difference happening. These are all subtle things. Sadhaka, people who are doing sadhana in spiritual life, they practice these things to win over the mind. Gradually, they take the mind out of the control of the ahankaram and pass that on to the control of the antaryami. Right. So, and at that time, you will start feeling the shanti, that blissful experience of shanti inside. Gradually, it will start coming up inside. So, basically, it is a difference in the attitude. So, that mind is what Krishna is talking about, prajahadi. Prajahadi yada kaman, sarvan, partha, manogadan. Mind is a cause, Arjuna, nothing else. And these are two ways you can do it. In Vedantam, they will do it in one way. And in the bhakti process, you will hand it over to Krishna. Prajahadi. Prajahadi means, he has given up the mind, right? So, giving up desires mean two ways. One, in a natural way, you are giving it up because of distress from the desires, right? After going through a lot of distress in life, at a certain stage, the jiva will have an insight into life, thinking, realizing that it is because of desires only that distress is coming in life. That he will get an insight into that at some point in time, provided he has gone through a lot of distress. Till then you will keep on trying hard to become happy in this world. But what Krishna says here, that all distress will one day leave or go away when you realize that these desires are causing this distress. And in that insight comes to him and he'll give it up. And that is a natural way of happening. Simply out of suffering, one comes to realize that because of desires I am suffering, I have to give up the desires. And that way, becoming free from the desires. But along with that, with these thoughts, along with that, salsangam also must happen. Otherwise, what will happen is he will go and commit suicide. So, salsangam, at that stage, suppose a lot of distress comes in life, and he started realizing that distress is because of the desires only I have this problem. If he doesn't get salsangam at that time, because of the depression and the distress, he may go and do something, giving up the body or committing suicide in that way. If a lot of distress comes in life, right, along with that, if you get salsangam, and also if this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, if that is also start working inside, then all the desires, he will be able to see it as, he'll be able to start seeing things in the proper way. That all desires are only going to cause distress in life, and with that he will be able to give up the desires. From inside, that mind which is causing this whole problem, desires and distress and all is not for the Atma, it's only for the mind. So he starts realizing this. To come to that realization, you have to go through a lot of distress in life. When a lot of suffering comes in life, one after the other, at that time the eye will open inside and he will start seeing that this mind is what is causing me the problem, because he is also in the salsangam and as well as the instructions what Krishna has spoken here. So in a normal way, on his own, he will give it up, and that means he has developed vairagyam inside. Intense vairagyam comes to him. Like we talked about many, many people like that, is it not? Same thing. That is one method. One process is that. That due to distress, you become so distressed that distress alone makes you realize the nature of this world and able to come to terms with it, realizing that this world is not what I thought it is. You start thinking about it in a different way, away from the world and analyzing the world. And all this friendship, society, love and wealth and all these things is all useless when that distress comes. It can come in various forms in life. So all the great personalities, if you look into their life, you will see that they have gone through this phase at some time or the other, including Srila Prabhupada. He had gone through a lot of distress before he went to America. If you read his Lilamrita, you will find that. And that is true with everyone. All great personalities have gone through that phase. And they have reached that state of vairagyam that they were able to see through this world properly, not like the way we are seeing the world. Most of the people think the world is a place to enjoy, and our karma also is dragging us into it, and we don't even accept that there is avidya inside us, and we keep on doing karmam, 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 and thinking that karmam will solve all the problems. And that is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is this realization has to come. Vairagyam eva abhayam, like Bhartrahari said. So once that happens, this renunciation or detachment, vairagyam, will come internally. Not forced upon you, but from your own side it is happening. Normally people say, oh, you have to have vairagyam, and people tell you, you have to be austere, Prabhu, and you have to give up all these things. And you have to, that is externally imposed on you. But from internally, if it comes, it is better, rather than forced upon from outside. From internally, due to analysis of the world and due to the suffering in this world, start seeing that what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is the proper way to look at the world. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. That realization will come from inside. But for that to happen, one has to suffer a lot. A lot of suffering has to come in life. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam, anityam asukham logam. All these statements in Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita will make sense at that time. That's one method. Then second method is, through sadhana able to give up things. Through sadhana process, right? How is that? How is that to be done? In Saundarya Lahari, Acharya Swamiji says about that, that the manastvam vyomatvam marudasi marud saradi rasi tvam apastvam bhumistvai parinadayam nahi param tvam eva swatmanam parimaidam vishyavabusha Siddhanandakaram Shiva Yuvadi Bhavena Vibrashe. It's the 35th verse in the Saundarya Lahari. He says this. Right? What he is saying here is that the this whole creation itself is Prakriti. Prakriti it is, isn't it? Prakriti's manifestation it is, right? In this creation, Jagadambiga, Sri Parvati, her first manifestation in this is internally as the mind and outwardly as the world. That is how it is. These are subtle things. We may not probably understand it properly. Saundarya Lahari was well known for this. That able to, you see, the world, where, how do we relate with the world? With the mind, is it not? So the world, when it comes inside us, that's the mind. That is the mind. Our connection with the world is through the mind, right? So, outwardly it manifests as the world. Internally it manifests, Jagadambiya, manifests outwardly as the world, and inwardly as the mind, right? And both of them is under her control. It is her who is in these two forms, right? So, that Devi Shakti, which Krishna calls in the Devi Kesha Gunamai. That's what it is. That's exactly what it means. Devi Kesha Gunamai. More, three modes of nature, right? So that Devi Shakti is Vijrambanam. Its projection is this world. The mind is nothing but the projection of that Devi Shakti. As projection, it is the world outside. And that is what he is saying here. First thing, before the world comes, the mind comes. First it manifests as the mind, the Devi Shakti. And when this mind, half open, that is when it's called a dream state. When it opens half, right? And when it's fully open, it is a vacant state, right? So, in vacant state, when it is fully open, that is when all the names and forms appear there, Namarupam, right? And then what happens? All our vasana starts coming out. Vishaya vasana comes out, right? Mind is not different from the antaryami, from the soul, right? So this mind is an unusual energy or power, you can say, what comes from the atma, from the soul, right? And so all those things that's coming in this mind is taken as different manifestations of Jagadambiya, Devi, Devi's manifestations. And if you are able to see like that, a devotee, then all emotions like that, without giving any trouble, will all become an experience of this yoga anubhava, yoga process, right? So all this is spoken in the Lalita Sahasranamam, how that happens. Lalita Sahasranamam explains all these things. If you study Lalita Sahasranamam, it's amazing. It is in one sense, you can say, it's much more technical compared to even Vishnu Sahasranamam. Lalita Sahasranamam is more technical because there it's not only Jnana Margam, but Yoga Margam is also blended very well in the Lalita Sahasranamam, right? So, all emotions are nothing but a manifestation of Jagadambiya, Sri Parvati, right? Kamam, Kopam, lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, all these things, negative ones, right? And similarly, positive ones also. There are good things as well. So, all the negative emotions is also coming from that energy only, because all these things are happening behind this. There is that adhishtanam, foundation, right? Just like in the ocean, lot of waves comes up. In a similar way, waves comes, water is there, and then the foam comes there. So, but ultimately everything is water. But water takes different types of forms, bubbles, foam, and everything. Similarly, this ocean called Antaryami inside, in that Antaryami, a wave comes, and that wave is this mind. Wave is the mind. You can see it is a wave. Why? Because it's only present in the vacant state and the dream state. As soon as you go into deep sleep, it is gone. So, we are thinking that this mind is such a difficult thing and difficult to control also. It is difficult because it's such a powerful wave that comes from the Antaryami. But when it goes to Sushupti, where has it gone? It has gone back to the source where it came from. That's how they say the mind came from Antaryami. Because in Sushupti, it is disappearing. Ahangaram disappears. Mind disappears. Everything disappears in the Sushupti. It's gone back to its source. Right? So, so, and it is not different from the Antaryami, right? And because it has come from Antaryami, Antaryami must be able to bring it under control, right? So, but what mind does is, we get this feeling that a second thing exists separately from Antaryami. And this is where Ahangaram comes. That we individuals as Ahangaram, we exist separately from the source, right? So, mind is also, it's only a wave that comes like that, bodham, but vastu, there is only one. There's only one. No second thing exists. So, in that bodham, in the desert, when you see the water, mirage, right? Similarly, marumarichika, Something like that. It's a movement inside what's happening. That's called the mind, right? So, if we have this insight properly, that's why people study all these books very seriously. People who are intense sadhakas, they study Lalita Sahasranamam, they study Bhagavad Gita, they study Saundarya Lahari, all these books thoroughly and reflect on that and try to bring it in as much as possible, right? So, Krishna is saying here, if you have that insight, even if the mind starts be flickering, a movement happens in the mind, it won't affect you. It won't affect you. You'll become free from the effect of the mind. And that is what Krishna is saying here, prajahadi yada kaman. See, that verse is very potent. Prajahadi yada kaman, sarvan, partha, manogadan, altmanyev, altmanatushta. Yeah? So, it is possible to give up all kamana, desires. Yogis show to people different methods of doing that. If it is not possible, at least to focus on one thought, that means that so many different thoughts are coming in the mind, but give the thoughts but it to control the mind, what they say, the example is, you know, when they take the elephant through the streets in the village and all that, the elephant has a tendency, while walking, it always wants to eat, because it needs so much food, isn't it? Any amount of food you give, it's not satisfied, it still wants more. So in the road, they will hang up these bunches of fruits, will be hanging, bananas and all that. So elephant, no matter what you tell him, he will put his huge trunk and pull the whole thing and take it inside. So the shopkeeper will be upset naturally if all his bananas are gone in one lot inside. And with that whole mouth, it is like a black hole disappearing once for all. It will not come back again. So what the mouths, what they do, they will give a bunch of these leaves of this palm tree for that to carry. And elephant knows that once you get to the destination, he will get time to stand and eat it properly. So to keep the elephant happy, before he starts the journey, in them days, elephants had to walk long, long distances. Nowadays, they are transporting with this 40-foot truck and all that to make the journey quicker. And everything has changed now. So what they'll do to the elephant is giving them a lot of this palm tree leaves, and they will tie it together and make the elephant to carry it in its trunk. It will hold like this. And because the trunk is busy holding this palm leaves, it does not get the opportunity to take all the fruits from the shops. It will listen to you. And when it gets to the destination, he will get the time to stand, and you will see they'll be swinging this trunk this way, that way, and enjoying its feast. So, similarly, in the same way, if the mind is doing like that, give the mind an engagement, and that's chanting. That's chanting. Japam is nothing but this, that giving an engagement to the mind, chanting. Not 4 rounds, 16 rounds, continuously chanting. That's what is expected. If you do that, then over a long period of time, the mind will come under control, right? So mind will become that holy name. Mind will take that form. Once the mind gets completely absorbed in the chanting, right, that you will see there, the mind is taking that form of the chanting. Without your knowledge, this chanting will start coming from inside. Ajapajapam, it is called. You are not chanting, but the chanting is going on inside. After a long time chanting, you will get that experience. Suppose you are chanting a lot every day. When you go out for a walking, without beats bag, you are just walking. At that time, from inside, you will still experience that japam going on inside, right? So, so these are all different methods, sadhana process, right? Methods by which the mind to control, which is causing problem for the atma, to process, to control them, right? One can choose any method, whatever suits him. If Krishna gives different options sometimes, Krishna also likes giving options to us. Either through distress, he says, you go suffer a lot, and then open your eyes inside, and it will open up inside naturally. The mind will come under control. The alternative is to go through this sadhana process, right? So, prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan, Krishna says, right? If you keep the mind under control, if you manage to keep the mind away, then first time in life, you will start experiencing a happiness which is not experienced in the mind. That's what the Atmanyeva Atmanatushta. It is at that stage that will happen. When the mind has gone, at that time, it will be replaced by Atmanyeva Atmanatushta. That is some kind of happiness, anandam, which is not coming from the mind. First time, you will experience that in life. Krishna is saying that, right? All happiness, what you are experiencing in this world, is done through your mind and senses, isn't it? Everything. All happiness, what you feel happy in this world sometimes, or when you feel distress. All that is happening in the mind, right? But once you start getting this happiness from the Antaryami, the first time that revelation of a happiness which is not experienced in the mind, first time when it happens, if you ask that question, when does that happen? The answer is that it is happening every day. When does that happen, right? Normally, we get happiness, say for example, some people get happiness watching the TV. Some people get the happiness eating some sweets and things like that. Or sparsham. So, or smell. Or through the five senses, in other words. People get happiness, right? And generally, through senses only, mind is getting its happiness all the time, right? Otherwise, the way to get happiness is in your mind you are having some imagination about something. Something good is going to happen. Imagining about that and feeling happy inside. So this is only happiness what we have at the moment. At this time now. At this right at this moment. Our happiness is based on these two things. If something comes through senses, mind will feel happy. If that is not happening, if some imagination of a future happiness likely to come, meditating on that, you will get some happiness from that. But without using the mind at all, and without using any senses either, daily we are getting a happiness in the sushupti. Is it not? So that statement is perfect. Atmanya valpana tushta. It's not wrong. People ask this question, how do you prove that? Alpanya valpana tushta. That is the proof. Without the mind, without the senses, it is possible to become happy, and that we are getting it in the sushupti. So that's what Krishna is saying here, that alpanya valpana tushta, so which we are experiencing in the sushupti. There is no mind. You are happy. What does that mean? That's the proof, is it not? You see, the subtle world inside, we don't understand, except we accept what Krishna is saying here. We have never thought about all these things. Our education is all about the world outside. All kinds of things we learn from the world outside. Inner world, we have completely forgotten. But Krishna is explaining the inside world, how it works. And analyzing this Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti itself will give you a good insight into the mind. Mind is active only in the wakened state and in the dream state. In deep sleep, mind disappears. So what that shows is that this Atmanya Valpana Tushta is a perfect statement, because that Atmanya Valpana Tushta is what you are experiencing in the Sushupti, right? So, for example, if you get happiness through senses, for example, if you have some nice sweets for Diwali, you made a lot of nice sweets, right? And you ate heartily as much as you wanted to fulfill all your desires, right? And after some time, say 20 jalebis or gulab jamuns you have eaten, after that you will get fed up, had enough. You will say, that's enough for me, right? So, in other words, if it exceeds, if it more than a certain quantity, then you started getting disgusted with it. You don't want to eat that anymore. When you see it, you turn your head away. When you see the sweets, you say, no, too much it is. You say that, right? So, similarly, everything else in life, it's like that. Even people who are getting great happiness from the alcohol, they also, after getting fully drunk and lost control and lying on the road and streets and people all abusing him, he gets disgusted with it, right? But this experience, Alpanya Valpana Tushta, is different. When you go into Sushupti state, everyone in this world gets exactly the same happiness. Sushupti. That's the beauty of Sushupti, right? Same experience for everyone. That is the difference between Alpanya Valpana Tushta and the happiness of the mind, right? Some people, they don't like sweets. They like savory. In this world, tastes are different, is it not? Right? And some people like salty things. Right? But this one, this Sushupti, no difference at all. No salt, savory, sweet and all that kind. Right? It is universal experience. It is. Everyone who goes into Sushupti, that happiness what he gets is universal. Same to everyone, and it is never decreases or increases. It gives you a steady happiness. No, without any tinge of distress in that. That's the beauty of Sushupti. And it is that happiness, what you experience in the Sushupti, is Krishna calling it as Almanya Valmana Tushta. So Almanya Valmana Tushta, you have to take it very seriously. It is coming from, when does that come? Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. The happiness of the mind and what we have been extracting from this world through the mind and senses, that has to come to a stop. Only then Almanya Valmana Tushta will happen. That is what Krishna is saying here. Right? So, till now, no one in the world has said that in the deep sleep he experienced a distress. Not one person has said that. Deep sleep means, Sushupti means real happiness, bliss. That's what you experience, right? So what does it mean? When the mind went and dissolved itself, and senses are not operating, but still when you wake up, you are saying, I was blissed out, they say. Sometimes devotees say, oh, I was ecstatic bliss and all that. They'll say like that, don't they? Devotees also say that. Kirtan was blissful and all that. Even Kirtan you can't compare with that. That Sushupti happiness. Even if you say you had bliss from the Kirtan, sometimes after a blissful Kirtan and a blissful dancing and a sumptuous prasadam, people say, I was blissed out, they say. The Western devotees used to say like that, blissed out. That's what they say. They used to blissed out, they say. That bliss, they don't know, higher than that blissed out state, because this bliss is, nature is, it can go up or down, but it cannot be compared with the bliss that's coming from the Sushupti. Sushupti's bliss is the highest. Why? Because it's coming directly from the Antaryami. Yeah? So, and not only that, suppose you are in the Sushupti. If somebody came and woke you up, you won't be happy about it, would you? You will never be happy, no matter what goes on, right? even suppose a day, something happened in your life on a particular day, a heavy distress came to your life, right? But if you have gone into deep sleep, your distress is gone. Say a close relation, friend or somebody died at home and you felt so distressed, but you go to deep sleep, it's gone. That's the beauty of that deep sleep state, Sushupti, right? So, why it has happened? Why did that happiness is like that? Brihadaranya Upanishad says that in the assembly of Janaka, King Janaka, right, they are analyzing this, Sushupti. They are analyzing in Janaka's assembly, right? Where did this happiness come from? Yajnavalkya Maharshi says there that unknowingly, mind has gone and dissolved in the Antaryami. Dissolved in the Antaryami at the deep sleep state, right? But that is happening unknowingly, without your knowledge. But with your knowledge, if it happens, with your knowledge, if you can go and dissolve the mind in the Antaryami, that's called Samadhi or Yoga state. That's all the difference is. Basically, what we want is that state of Sushupti state, Sushupti experience we want it. And if you can get that with your sadhana process, if you are able to dissolve the mind in the Antaryami, you will get that state. when it happens for thrust upon us by Prakriti's arrangement, then it is called Sushupti. Then it's called Sushupti, right? So, whereas with your knowledge, if it happens, Sushupti happens without your knowledge, is it not? You go to sleep, and then gradually you will move into, for Prakriti puts you into sleep. Yadevi sarvabhudesho nidra rupena samsthita. Nidra comes in, and then you fall asleep. Sometimes you may have a dream, and gradually, finally you will fall into deep sleep state, is it not? So, but knowingly if it happens, it's called yoga state, yoga or samadhi state. But due to compassion for us, what does Krishna do? At that time, without our knowledge, in that deep sleep state, Krishna is embracing us. Andaryami is Krishna. He is embracing us, right? And because every night he gives us this experience of embracing us for a few minutes or a few hours, whatever it is, depending on what the situation is, right? And after embracing us, he leaves us. And that is the reason why we are able to live the next day. You know that. It is not difficult to understand this. You can see, if you don't get a good sleep for 1 or 2 days, life is hell then. Is it not? How long can you live without sleeping? You may be able to live without food even for some days, but without sleep after a few days, you will go crazy. So our very survival itself is when Krishna gives us this experience in the deep sleep. And that's what the Brahadaranyam says, that Krishna comes and embraces us. All this is unknown to us. When we say Krishna embraces, doesn't mean that he comes with the two hands and the two legs. And not that way. That's not the embracing means. That Andaryami is Chaitanyam. We are also Chaitanyam. He takes us on board with him. He becomes one with him at that time, right? So, and then he releases us next day morning because our vasanas are there, prarabdham is there, go back again, finish up the prarabdham, he says, and let you go, right? If this doesn't happen, we won't be able to live in this world, right? Just like a mother takes her child and embraces, child forgets everything, all suffering in this world, right? So, every day, in this way, when we sleep at night, Krishna embraces us and sends us back in the morning. That's why you feel fresh when you wake up in the morning, right? So, what we have done is, we have gone to the sata. We have gone to the sata. And we become richer and came back, right? So, who says this? Brihadaranya Upanishad says this, right? So, sat sarupam, going to sat and sarupam, it has gone there. So, therefore, you are refreshed. You are refreshed, right? There was one doctor, he was very fond of looking after poor people. He had a tremendous compassion for them. So, you know, people who don't have much money to go to hospitals and spend a lot of money and all that, he used to treat them. He used to treat them in a simple way. Give them medicines also as much as possible, right? Sometimes some of them will come with serious problems, cardiac arrest and all that. Will come to him. In villages all these things happen, right? If you tell them that you have to come to the hospital and get through this operation and all, if you tell them, they won't come. But they have to work every day. You tell them 10 days you come and stay in the hospital. It's difficult for them. Because daily wages they are working in life, right? They cannot do it. And they won't treat also when anything happens, cardiac problems. They are not measuring blood pressure every day like we do. They don't have blood pressure meter or anything like that. Whatever happens, they just accept it. As long as the body is working, they'll go to work. And as long as they have an income, they will live. And when there is no income and when there is no work, they will drop. So, they are not ready for, if you tell them to come to hospital for treatment and all, they are not ready for that, right? So what he used to do, he used to give them tranquilizers. and put them to sleep, right? And he says that in some instances, simply by giving them tranquilizers and sleeping, they became cured from their problems. Cured from their problems. Simply giving them tranquilizers in that way. We may think like, oh, this is not a bad way of treating people, but it's frightening actually that he has done such things, right? Any amount of treatment, for example, with a fully alert, the testing, different kinds of tests, scans, medicines, endlessly what happens with people who go on doing one after the other, right? These people, they don't have any opportunity for all that, you know? So, and they are not conscious of all these things either. They also don't know that all these things exist in the medical field, right? And that's when you realize that ignorance is a blessing, not knowing all these things, right? Because this knowledge is creating more problems for us, right? And this sleep is a great healing power. It's a great healing power. Because there is no vasanas operating at that time. So that sleep, when the vasanas are not working, that sleep is called a samadhi. Samadhi means that when the vasanas are not working, right? If you can see this difference, people sleeping with vasanas and people sleeping without vasanas. If you observe that. Children, very small children, they sleep without vasanas. The grown-ups, they sleep with vasanas, right? So, and that is the reason when the children wake up from the sleep, you look at their face, looks very fresh. And it's beautiful they look at that time. When we wake up and look at our face, you can't even look at it. It's so disgusting that all the anxieties, all kinds of stress, and all emotions and all kinds of vasanas all comes out on the face when you wake up, right? So, so that is why their sleep is beautiful when they wake up, right? And when they wake up, it is so fresh, right? For example, a 40-year-old person, 40-plus age, right? Look at him, you can't look at him. Why? Both of them, when they sleep, the mind gets dissolved in both cases, right? But one person, because his mind has gone and settled down on his vasanas, the bed of vasanas, right? And mind is in the vasana still. Even though it's not operating, it is still in the vasana, right? So that is the reason, traditionally in the mathams, when sannyasis wake up in the morning, you show them the arati for them. Why is that? The understanding is that they have no vasana. Sannyasi is supposed to be free from vasana. Sannyasis are supposed to be vasanas, vasana kshayam has happened. So, therefore, in their sleep, they don't have vasanas. Therefore, when they wake up, they say they have been to Kailasam, Kailasa Darshanam. And in Puranams, they will say like this, right? That means that they have gone into Atma and they have gone to the Sata without vasana, and because they are Jnanis, realized souls, and their mind has gone to Krishna and come back from inside, right? You can say Kailasa Darshanam, Vaikuntha Darshanam, different ways. Lord Shiva's devotees will say Kailasa Darshanam. Vishnu's devotees will say Vaikuntha Darshanam, right? And saying that, they will show arati to them because their mind has gone to Andaryami and come back, right? Our ordinary people will come back as though we have been to hell. When we wake up, we look like that, as though we had been to hell, right? What is the reason? Because of the vasanas inside. So many vasanas inside. We have created all these vasanas from the world outside, from our karma, what we have done, all stored inside. And that is all starts coming up, one way or the other, right? So, both the ordinary person, as well as the jnanis, both of them, their mind is going to the sata, right? the ordinary people, they go to the sata with the vasanas, and others, the children who don't have vasanas, vasanas have not manifested, they go without the vasanas, or sannyasis go without vasanas, right? So you remember this. This is the reason Jayan Vijaya, they came back as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu for vasanas only. There were some vasana inside them, and then it came out, and they had to accept those bodies, right? So Jaya Vijaya, they are also gone to Vaikuntham. They have gone to the Sata, right? Even though they have gone there, they had to come back. Because vasanas, of course, of the vasana, vasanas were not burned completely. Still vasanas were there. So you can understand from that, you know, when Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and all saying these things, we shouldn't take it lightly, because there is so much vasanas we have created in several lifetimes, and it's all there inside us. And you will be surprised, all of us will be surprised, when they come out in certain instances. How they manifest at a certain times in life, in every one of us. In different forms it will come out. And after it has happened, then you start thinking, why did I do this? Why did I do that? You don't have to blame anyone. Previous karma has come out. That's all. Vasana has come out, right? So, that Sata, Krishna calls by different names, Antaryami, Sata, all means the same thing. So on a daily basis, mind goes there and comes back. And no senses are operating at that time. So there feels some happiness from that. Nirvishesham, it's called Nirvishesham. There was a book a doctor has written in the Second World War, of the Second World War, right? So he observed a lot of soldiers. They got their hands gone, legs gone, and lying there in the battlefield, and they'll bring them, the ambulance will bring them for treatment, right? So, and then he noticed that some of them have gone to deep sleep, and they were sleeping very well. After seeing that, the doctor got an insight like this: if I can put everybody to sleep, that's the best thing. Instead of seeing their suffering, if I can put them to sleep somehow, I won't see this suffering as much as I do, right? So, this beauty of Sushupti, even the doctor found out in the battlefield, after seeing soldiers sleeping. Some of them, after the legs gone, hands gone, they were sleeping and they were not making any problems. They were lying there like that, right? So he understood that you can go to that state, ignore this body completely, and treating this body as totally insignificant, and go to deep sleep, right? And he saw that they were feeling relief from that. So how is that possible? He understood that keeping this body with us all the time, it is not possible. So what did they do? He understood that somehow or the other, I have to make them feel that they don't have any connection with the body, permanent connection with the body, right? And he understood this. And if you have so much pain, is it possible to go to deep sleep? So keeping this, able to keep the body away from that pain and suffering what it was, he put the tranquilizers on them and they started sleeping like ordinary people are sleeping. He noticed that how they felt relief from that pain, right? So this doctor was a thoughtful person, and he said that separately from the body, there is something else inside which is controlling everything. This is from his practical experience. He is a thoughtful person, so he's able to think like that. And after that, he started, wanted to understand this. How does it work? And then he started studying Vedanta. He came to Vedanta later, right? So, and then he understood from Vedanta, he got all this understanding, deeper level. And then he became a sannyasi later, gave up his doctor's job and all, went to Himalayas after that. This has happened to many people. He's not the only one. People who have thinking nature and who who had this insight into deep sleep state, that how that we are changing in different states. Our, when you keep the body with you, you suffer maximum. When you don't have the body at all, you feel completely relaxed, free from all sufferings of this world. So body is the one what is causing all the problem. And to find, get that insight, one has to go through the these experiences. Yeah, what he is saying here. So, he came to realize, because he studied Vedanta, he started seeing things in a different way. Body takes birth, like Prahlad said. Body takes birth, body grows up, body starts changing, body starts deteriorating, and body dies, right? So, Shat Parinama Vedam, Shat Parinama, what he talks about, right? And he realized that, untouched by all these changes happening in the body, there is something inside, Purna Vastu, perfect, Andaryami, inside, right? And that Purna Vastu is not something that anybody has created. Nobody created that Purna Vastu inside, right? If anything is created, it is cannot be Purna, perfect, right? Artificially you can say, you can do meditation, right? But in a natural way, through jnanam, through knowledge, that realization has to come. Yeah? So, when you get that realization in a natural way, through knowledge, then it is called prajna. See that word prajna there? Yeah. Yeah. Jahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan Altmanya Altmana Tushta Tida Prajna Tadochyade. That is prajna. Prajna means that. That means through knowledge and realization coming, that this Andaryami inside is perfect. Altmanya Altmana Tushta. That Altma Andaryami inside is perfect. He does not require anything from outside. On its own, he is happy. Right? So, so which is different. That through artificial way, if you do meditation and all that, prajna won't get that state. That prajna won't come. Prajna has to come through this knowledge only. So, just like these meditation classes, right? Yoga classes, you know, these days everywhere they do that, isn't it? People are very fond of yoga. And we don't say bhakti yoga, we say yoga of love, we say. Yeah, yoga of love, that's what we are doing. We are practicing yoga of love, yeah. First of all, you have to understand what love means. So when, in the West, when it comes love, the word, the meaning all changes completely. It's all based on the bodily relationships. But see, yoga of love, so this is the problem. Bhakti is a difficult terminology to translate into another language. Bhakti is different completely, right? That is why this word bhakti is so difficult to... Narada Maharshi wrote this Bhakti Sutram. And there also he didn't define bhakti precisely. He said, yatha vraja gobiganam. Krishna also did the same thing in the 12th chapter. He said, how will a devotee will be? Narada Maharshi said, yatha vraja gobiganam. Bhakti has got so many bhavam inside. Anyway, so what you jnanam, which is not artificially done, in the sense it's coming as a realization inside, is it not? It's not like you're learning something through mind and intelligence. It happens inside. Yeah. So, agrada kridena, pariksha logan karma jidan, ബ്രാഹ്മണാൽ നിർവേദമായാൽ അകൃതകൃതേന തദ്വിജ്ഞാനാർത്ഥം സദ്ഗുരുമേവ അഭിഗച്ഛേത് ശമിത്പാണി ശ്രോത്രിയം ബ്രഹ്മനിഷ്ഠം. ഉപനിഷത് സേസ് സോ. വാട്ട് ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് എനിത്തിങ് യു ഗെറ്റ് ത്രൂ കർമ്മം, വട്ട് എവർ ഇറ്റ് മേ ബി, ആഫ്റ്റർ യു ആർ എക്സ്പെരിമെന്റിംഗ് വിത്ത് ദാറ്റ് ഫോർ സം ടൈം, യു വിൽ റിയലൈസ് ദാറ്റ് അൾട്ടിമേറ്റ്ലി യു വിൽ റിയലൈസ് ദാറ്റ് പെർഫെക്ഷൻ യു കെനോട്ട് ഗെറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ത്രൂ കർമ്മം. That's the problem with karma. You know, karma has been pumped into our head so strongly, is it not? Schools, colleges, and the society, everything has put this karma concept so strongly into our head. But Upanishad is saying, after you try karma for a long time, you will come to understand perfection is not possible through karma. Perfection means what? Perfection means to reach a state from where you don't fall again. With karma, whatever you achieve in this world has a limit. In other words, you may get something, but at the end you will lose it. That's what the thing is saying. Pariksha logan karmajidan brahmanal nirvedamayal agradakrudena. Agradakrudena, he is saying there, right? So, brahmanishta, what Krishna is saying here, purna vastu andaryami, about Andaryami, the only way is through Shravanam, and finally, because the Vastu is Purnam, and this has to be realized inside. The only way is to hear and recognize it inside, right? And that is what Shukha Brahmarshi did to Parikshit also. Just heard and he realized it. 5th chapter, 12.5. Simply heard it and the realization happened to him. Nothing else, right? So, that means to realize that Andaryami inside, as when you realize it, what happens? You realize that that's you. That's actually what you are. That means your Shraddha has fallen on that. Now the Shraddha is in all other places, in the body, in the mind, in the senses, in the world. But that Shraddha has all come back and fallen on the Andaryami. When it falls on the Andaryami, at that time, that no matter what happens, when it has fallen on the Andaryami, even if the mind has started flickering, nothing will happen. And that is why they say, like, the example is very good. If you had looked at the moon last night, during the day, you have seen the moon. It was there in the sky. But you won't notice it. Why? Because the sunshine was there. When sunshine was there, sometimes you will notice. Sunshine means it was cloudy. But the light everywhere was due to the sun only. Therefore, you could see the moon as well. Because Ekadashi today. So, if Purnami is coming. So the moon was almost getting closer to the full moon day. You will see another 3-4 days, it's full moon, isn't it? So now, in the night, say about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, if you look at the sky, you will see the moon there, but it's not dark yet. 8:30. So the moon is there in the sky, and the sunlight is there still. So therefore, moon is not having any impact on the world at that moment. Because it's not dark. It is bright, right? This is what happens to the mind. And when realization happens, Andaryami is doing everything after that. Mind is still there, but it will be like that. It will be like that, right? So, and so the thing is that when the sun is shining, sun is the Andaryami. When sun is shining, mind is the moon. The moon has no more relevance anymore when the sun is shining. If the sun is not shining, the moon is in control of everything, right? So, similarly, even if the mind stops working or if it's moving, you will realize that behind this mind, there is that powerful bodham. Consciousness, Andaryami is present. and it will not affect a realized person, jnani, right? So able to remove the mind from inside, keep it away from us, and able to get hold of that prajna inside, of the Antaryami, who is perfect inside. And if you are able to touch him, Krishna says, you are sthita prajna then. Then you have become sthita prajna. That's what that verse is saying. This verse is a very important verse. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan altmanyeva altmanatushta sthita prajna tvaduchyade. You have to connect these words with the Upanishads. Otherwise it won't be able to get the depth of this verse. To get to know this depth, you got to connect it with the other Upanishads also. Brihadaranyam, Shedashvara Upanishad, all these Upanishads. That knowledge is Krishna has packed into one verse in this way. Yeah. So that is what it is important. So sthita prajna, what does sthita prajna means is this, right? No matter how much the mind is flickering or movement happens, knowing very well this mind is also coming from that prajna inside, right? And therefore, because he knows means not knowing like we know, he is in his experience level. He is knowing that prajna, Antaryami is coming, prajna, and that prajna is doing everything, and therefore mind has no more impact, right? So that Bodha Swarupam or Brahma Swarupam, he is staying there. Therefore, Altmanyeva Altmanatushta. He is situated in himself and he has found the happiness there. And therefore he said, Sthita Prajna Tadochyate. Right? So he is called as Sthita Prajna. Vedantis will call him as Jivan Mukta. Right? Why? Because while living in this world itself, he has found the happiness of liberation. He has found the happiness of liberation. And in the next verse, Krishna is saying, such a Jivan Mukta person who has realized this truth while living in this world and while doing all this vyavaharam, after his realization, how will he conduct his vyavaharam? We are all doing vyavaharam, is it not? He was also doing vyavaharam. But after this realization happened to him, prajna, sthita prajnatvam comes to him, how will he conduct his vyavaharam then? That's the next verse. Krishna is going to talk about that, right? So, normally you can say he will do everything without attachment, no sangam anywhere, nisangatvam, right? Internally he is realized that he is in the prajna, he is sthita prajnatvam, right? Nisangatvam, right? So there is example for it, like you can see that this famous example in Vedanta, they'll give this, right? When you cut the jackfruit, you put oil on your hands so that sticky thing won't stick onto your hands, right? So and that, so in that way, he'll be able to do the vyavaharam, not affected by that, right? This is a basic thing. They will be present in this world, but they're not, world is not inside them. They are present in the world, but the world is not in them, right? Suppose this boat in the water, it may be in the water, but if you allow the water to get into the boat, then the boat will sink. Boat will sink, right? Similarly, this person is in this world, but the world is not inside him. Just like the boat is in the water does not get into the boat. He is safe. Boat is safe. But if the water gets into the boat will sink. In the same way, this person also, he is inside this world, and the world has not gone inside him. Why? Because he is able to see everything as Atma. And therefore, he will conduct his vyavaharam with complete detachment, nisangatvam, and that is why he is Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta. So, we talked about many avadudas, don't we? Rishabhadev, Dattatreya, Bharada, Yudhishthira, Like that, there are number of them, right? They may not be like the avadutas, like that. But if you look at them, like ordinary people, these jnanis, they may be conducting their vyavaharam in this world, like ordinary people, right? And that vyavaharam will depend on their prarabdham. Will depend on their prarabdham. Remember, we were mentioning this before, that this sthitapragna person, who is sthitapragnatvam, has come. It is very difficult to judge him from outside. There's no way of knowing that, whether he is a sthitapragna or not. Yeah? The reason is that the prarabdham is the one that is keeping him in this world. So when he is doing vyavaharam, all that vyavaharam is happening based on the prarabdham, which we don't know, and which will vary from one person to another. Their prarabdham is not finished. They are liberated, but prarabdham is not over. So they still have to stay till the body drops. Once the body drops, finished, it's over for them. So therefore, and because the prarabdham is different, their vyavaharam also will be different. Vyavaharam is all based on prarabdham. So because prarabdham is different, vyavaharam will be different, right? So that is why, according to the prarabdham, they will be doing their vyavaharam. And that is why it's difficult. We may ask, if the few realized souls, if they come here, they all will act, behave differently. They all will behave differently, right? So, Yoga Vasishtam. Ramachandra, Vasishtha was instructing Ramachandra. Ramayanam is 24,000 verses. Yoga Vasishtam is 32,000 verses. Yeah? And Ramachandra realizes self after Vasishtha instructed him. And after became very detached from this world. And he asked Vasishtha for instructions. Ramachandra is asking this, right? Vasishtha gives him spiritual instructions, right? And Ramachandra realizes self. This is how it is presented in the Yoga Vasishtam. And he is experiencing this Nirvikalpa state, without Vikalpam, Samadhi state inside. Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, now you and me are in the same state, right? So, whatever state Sri Shuka Brahmarshi has experienced, right? And Lord Shiva stayed in what situation, what state he was all the time, and in what state the four Kumaras are there. And similarly, Brahma, Vishnu and others are present in whatever state they are, right? That state, the same state you are also now, Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, like that, right? But if you behave like Shuka Brahmarshi, you cannot do that. Yeah. Suppose you forget everything, like Shuka did, Shuka Brahmarshi. He forgot everything. He has no connection with the world. You cannot do that, because if you do that, you are responsibility there of administration of the kingdom. You won't be able to do that. Therefore, he says to Ramachandra, keeping this knowledge inside, keep it yourself, right? And outwardly, artificially you show anger to others. And similarly, artificially, you have to conduct your business. You have to show anger when you have to show anger. And you have to show happiness when you have to show happiness. Internally, no. Outwardly, you have to show. Like that, right? And and just like in the drama they do, is it not? Actor is showing because he is acting there. And Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, you have to do that acting now here. Bahi kritrima samrambham, right? Anda samrambha varjidaha. Artificially, you have to do all the samrambham artificially outside. Internally, no samrambham at all. Karta vahihi nahi. No karta inside. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Akarta andaha. Outwardly, you have to show that you are the doer. ഇന്റേണലി യു ആർ നോട്ട് ദ ഡൂവർ റൈറ്റ് ലോകേ വിഹര രാഘവ പ്ലേ യുവർ ദിസ് ഗെയിം ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് രാമചന്ദ്ര ലോകേ വിഹര രാഘവ വസിഷ്ഠ മഹർഷി സേസ് ടു രാമചന്ദ്ര റൈറ്റ് ഈ സേസ് ടു രാമചന്ദ്ര പ്ലേ ദിസ് ഗെയിം ഹി സേസ് ടു രാമചന്ദ്ര റൈറ്റ് വൈ ഇസ് ദാറ്റ് ഔട്ട്വേർഡ്ലി യു ഹാവ് ടു ഡു എവറിഥിങ് വാട്ട് യു ഹാവ് ടു ഡു ബട്ട് ഇന്റേണലി നത്തിങ് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ഇൻസൈഡ് നോ ഇമ്പാക്ട് അറ്റ് ഓൾ ഇൻസൈഡ് ഔട്ട്വേർഡ്ലി യു ഹാവ് ടു ഷോ ആംഗർ ബിക്കോസ് ഇഫ് യു ഡോണ്ട് ഷോ ദി ആംഗർ പീപ്പിൾ വിൽ ചീറ്റ് യു ദേ വിൽ ടേക്ക് അഡ്വാൻറ്റേജ് റൈറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് യു ആർ എ കിങ് ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് സോ ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് എ റിയലൈസ്ഡ് സോൾ ഡസൻ്റ് ഹാവ് ടു ബി എ സെയിന്റ് ഓൾ ദ ടൈം ഓർ എ സാധു but sadhus can remain as a jnani but jnani need not be a sadhu right he can be like Ramachandra was like that right like an emperor or like Janaka like the king that's how Janaka conducted the business and that is how Krishna conducted his business as well they all acted differently did they not Krishna's activities if you see you may get the impression that oh, Krishna has so much attached to different things. He was helping this, helping that. Internally, no movement at all. Mahabharata war, Rajasuyam sacrifice, Rasa dance. No matter what was happening, inside, no impact at all. Sthita Prajnatvam. The best example is Krishna himself for Sthita Prajnatvam. So, you cannot say Krishna is a sadhu, can you? For all what he has done, right? So, these personalities, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna quoted, Astida Janakadeya, he says, like Janaka, King Janaka, right? So all these great, great, they were all kings and emperors like that, but they were realized souls. See the beauty of that. They were all great, great personalities, but they were realized souls. Janaka was realized. And same thing with Shukabrahmarshi also. Shukabrahmarshi lived a different life. Totally come out of this world and lived on his own, aloof from everything. Janaka was involved in the administration. Yeah. Similarly, about Yajnavalkya Maharshi, cannot say that he was a sadhu in many ways. He was a jnani, right? So, Janaka told him, I will ask you some questions, he said, right? In his assembly, this happened, yeah. And one who can answer these questions, I will give them 1,000 cows with their horns covered in gold, right? As charity, right? For Brahmanas, in them days, the wealth is cows. For Brahmanas wants cows only. That's their wealth. Now Brahmanas want different things. You can't even relate with that. Why did they want cows? Cows satisfies all their needs. They need ghee, they need milk for sacrifices. And for their health is concerned, they need the milk. So milk, yogurt, ghee, everything Brahmanas need. And that's why that's their wealth. They don't need anything else in this world. For performing yajnam, yagam, homam, everything requires ghee, milk, yogurt and things like that. So that is why in them days there was Gurukulam system of education was there, right? Lots of children were studying in the Gurukulam, right? And Yajnavalkya Maharshi was a Kulapati. He was running a Gurukulam. And there was lots of children in the Gurukulam. Right? So he wanted these cows badly. He wanted them. Right? And if you ask the questions, Janaka asks the questions, and if you don't answer the questions, that will be bad for him. Therefore, that will be bad. So therefore, many Brahmanas in the assembly, they didn't get up when he said this, right? Yajnavalkya Maharshi got up from his seat and told Janaka, I am ready for the questions fire away, he said to Janaka. Put all your questions, I'm ready to answer, he said. Right? So, but before answering the questions, he told his disciples, you take all those cows and take them to the Gurukulam, he said. Right? And take them and tie them down in the Gurukulam. Right? Immediately all the other brahmanas, they wanted the cows, but they got up from their seat. So he stopped him from doing that. He says, how can you take them? You're not, questions are not even put in and you're not even answered them, right? How can you take them away? He said, after your questions were raised and you have answered them, and after the Salsangam, you can take them if you win them, right? Yajnavalkya Maharshi says that if I give the answers to Janaka or give the instructions to him, and then if I take the cows from him, then it becomes dakshina. It becomes a dakshina. And for Brahmavidya, he said, there is no dakshina. All other karmam in the Vedam, karmagandam, there is dakshina. For yagam, yajnam and all that. For Brahmavidya, you cannot give any dakshina because it's so valuable. There is nothing you can give as a token of as a gift, what you have got. Brahmavidya's power, Yajnavalkya Maharshi was explaining there to them, that, see, normally, for any karmam what you do, Vaidika karmam, you have to give dakshina for that. Is it not? Marriage, there is dakshina. Similarly, I don't know, nowadays, how it is, birthday, party, no, it's no dakshina, I think, in that. Cake cutting is going on. But dakshina is not there. But, generally, in the if you look into Bhagavatam, when Krishna's birthday was celebrated, Nanda Maharaj gave a lot of dakshina to the brahmanas in form of cows, isn't it? That kind of birthday party we don't have now. Our birthday party is a different style now. So, traditionally, or in the system of the Vaidika Sampradayam, is like that. Any karmam you do, there has to be a dakshina. But when you receive Brahma Vidya from a great personality like Shukha Brahmarshi or Yajnavalkya like that, Yajnavalkya Maharshi told the Brahmana, this Brahma Vidya is not like anything else. Like in the Yajnam Yagam and all that, like different Putragameshti performed and Dasharatha gave a lot of dakshina to Krishna and others, right? So similarly all the Yajnam you will see, Prajinabar is giving dakshina, Mahabali giving dakshina, everything. But when it comes to Brahmavidya, there cannot be any dakshina because it is so way beyond all these things, right? He says that Janaka won't be able to give me back for what I'm going to say, he said. And even if you give me this whole planet, it won't compensate for that. Dakshina won't compensate for that. So that is why, as soon as Janaka was given the instructions, right, every day that he'll say, Sahasram Dadami, he will say like that. Ultimately he says, I will give you the whole Videham, the Janaka, the Mithila itself, right? And he will say, I'll give myself to you. And this is how that Salsangam happened. Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to the Brahmanas, because what I am going to speak, answer, cannot be compensated by any dakshina, and I need the cows, so I am taking them, he said. And he took the cows, and he told the cows to be taken to the ashram for the children, right? So, Brahmanas got up at that time, and they said to Yajnavalkya, right, are you so confident about your Brahmanishtha to such an extent? Are you so confident about that? Yajnavalkya Maharshi says there that I offer my obeisances to all the Brahmanishtas in this world, right? And the cows, I need them. Don't link the cows with this Brahmavidya, he said. Brahmavidya is independent. You cannot link with that. when you are giving, I am Pashukaman now. I want the cows. So, Temporarily, I am not Brahmanishtha, he says. But I need the cows now. So, and just because I have taken these cows, my Brahmanishtha is not going to be affected by that. This is how Yajnavalkya Maharshi explained that to him, right? And now, after taking the cows, he says, now we can start the discussion. He says, so, so what it means is that Jnani's situation sometimes is difficult for ordinary people to understand. To understand, right? Yeah. Swami Ramadas, one person asked him, will they get cheated in Vyavaharam? Jnani's, will they get cheated? They asked him, right? Ramadas said that to cheat Jnani's is not very difficult because he will believe everybody. He will trust everyone, right? Therefore, normally it is difficult for him to do the Vyavaharam, right? Therefore, sadhus normally, they won't do Vyavaharam as much as possible, right? They become what they call yadi. They become yadi, right? Because they cannot do Vyavaharam. So, what I'm saying is that there are people in different levels in the realized state, in the realized state. You take, for example, that all the saints in Maharashtra, Tukaram and all that, Tukaram could not do any Vyavaharam. It was a disaster for him, right? And people are coming to the shop, and Tukaram was singing Kirtan. Imagine if you keep singing Kirtan and somebody is coming, you are not focused on the money to collect the payment, nothing. And whatever they ask, he will give and he will sing Kirtan and tell him to also to sing Kirtan. He will sing Kirtan and he will go. No payment. Very quickly the shop was closed, right? And there was so much poverty at home, Tukaram's house, right? And it's a very interesting story, right? Because of this, his wife had a lot of struggle, lot of suffering. Husband is like this, doing business in this way, right? So, Ramachandra says to Vasishtha, Rama, lock up this knowledge, realization inside, and let that knowledge give you shanti inside. But in Vyavaharam, you play the game, what you have to play, right? Whatever according to the dharmam you have to do here, that you have to do. He said this to Ramachandra. So Ramachandra was given instruction by Vasishtha in one way, and Ramachandra acted accordingly. And this was the instruction to him by Vasishtha. Krishna, right from the beginning till end, always in that Siddha Prajna stage, he acted on that level, right? So the important thing is this, that the in this world, according to the social rules, loka dharma we can call it, whatever has to be done, you have to do that. This is how he was told, right? And that is based on the prarabdham, what comes. And in the vyavaharam, these two things will always come. Which one? Sukham, dukham. They will always come. No matter who it is. Vyavaharam means you will get sukham, dukham. You cannot do anything about it. Just like if you touch the fire, you will get burned. Vyavaharam is like that. And it does not matter whether you are a jnani or you are a ajnani, right? Just like if you are hungry, you have to take the food. Similarly, sukham, dukham will always come in Vyavaharam. So what do you do then? The answer to that is the next verse. If you look, 56 verse, right? Siddha Prajna, how he has to deal with the world, right? So, dukheshu anudvigna manaha, sukheshu vigada spriha, vida raga bhaya krodha sthithadir muni ruchyate. Krishna's answer for that. Dukheshu anudvigna mana, sukheshu vigada spriha, vida raga bhaya krodha sthithadir muni ruchyate. That is the way to deal with it. You can see Krishna knows the problem very well. Sukham, dukham. How to handle this? This is what spiritual life is all about. How to deal with happiness and distress in life? Sukham will come, dukham will come. Earlier we saw how Krishna gave us this problem because ragadvesham comes first. From ragadvesham comes sukham dukham, isn't it? Ragadvesham is responsible for that. There is ragam, there is dvesham inside. When there is ragadvesham, there will be sukham dukham. So Krishna told us how to, that's why in the third verse itself he said, matrasparashastu kaundeya, shitoshna sukha dukhada, agamapayinu anityam tam tidikshastu bharata. Tolerate everything, he said. Then, these four things, what we spoke, ragadvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutva. So Krishna is saying, if we have managed to succeed out of these four things to control, then you are a siddha prajna then. So this journey of spiritual life is to get to that state. Somehow or the other, we have to get there. And therefore, Krishna is looking at it from different angles and saying to us that dukheshu anudigna mana, sukheshu vigatasprifa, vida raga bhaya krodha, siddhidhir muni rechare. Now, this thing, what Krishna is saying here, if you look at about a perfect devotee, Krishna is saying the same thing there. What he is saying here. So, basically, a spiritually realized person means he will have this quality, whether you are a devotee or whether you are a jnani. If you look at the devotee's qualifications, you will see there in the 12th chapter, when he spoke about the devotee, what was he saying there about the devotee? He said there that the... in the 12th chapter, no, 12th chapter is the Bhakti Yoga, isn't it? In Bhakti Yoga chapter, if you look at it, from 12th verse onwards, Advaita Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Yevacha Nirmamo Nirahangara Sama Dukkha Sugakshami. So, this quality for Siddha Prajna, devotee also needs that. Sama Dukkha Sukhakshami. That is devotee. Just like he is saying here, Dukkheshu Anidigdamana. So, in the case of a jnani, he is spoken like this. In the case of a devotee, he has spoken in the same thing. Sama Shatrauja Mitreja Tatha Manava Manayo Shitoshna Sukha Dukkheshu Sama Sangha Vivarjidaha. 18th verse. So where is the difference? We are breaking up everything and thinking that devotee is like this, jnani is like that, yogi is like this. We break it up. And then we say, oh, we are not a jnani, we are devotee, we say. But quality-wise, jnani or a devotee or a yogi or a bhakta, whatever it is, it's the same. Qualifications are concerned. They're all same. There's no difference at all. That you have to understand by looking at the qualities what he has spoken. Otherwise, you're studying Bhagavad Gita, you're studying like chemistry and physics. That's no use. That's useless. You see, going into Bhagavad Gita means, what is Krishna's message? What stage we have to get into at the end? After all your sadhana, upasana, everything what you have done, studied the shastram, did all the other things, what got the t-shirt. But if I haven't got this thing, what Krishna is saying there, then your spiritual life has not got very far. Whether you are a devotee, whether you are a jnani, whether you are a siddha prajna, whether you are a yogi, the qualities what Krishna is expecting from every one of them is the same. Not different at all. And you will see that when you read the verses. Krishna is saying, Dukheshu anidignamana, Sukheshu vigadaspraga, Vidaraga bhaya krodha. For a jnani he is saying this. And for a devotee he is saying here, Sama shatrauja mitraja tadha manava manayo, Shidoshna sukadukheshu, Sama sangha vivarjidaha. Exactly the same thing, is it not? So we'll discuss that after the break. Chedo darpanam arjanam bau mahadavagni nirvapanam, Shreya kaitava chandriya vidaranam, Vidhyavadhu jivanam. आनंदाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मासुभनं वरं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसंकीर्तनं नामनामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता नियमिता स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനിതാനുരാഗാഃ തൃണാരഭീഷുണീചേനാം തരോരഭീ സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാ ഹരി. നഥനം നചനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരി ഭവദാൽ ഭക്തിരഹൈ തുകി ത്വയി ഐ നന്ദതനൂജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാം മാം ക്ഷമേ ഭവാംബുധൗ കൃപയാ തവ പാദ പങ്കജ സ്ഥിത ധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ. നയനം ഗലദശുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുളകേർനിചിതം ഗതാവഭൂ തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി. യുഗായിദം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിദം ശൂന്യായിദം ജഗൽസർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ. ആശ്ലേഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം പിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാതഥാ വാ വിധദാതുലം മനു മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നയേവ നാപരാ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ദുഃഖേഷു അനുദ്വിഗ്നമനാഃ സുഖേഷു വിഗതസ്പൃഹ വീതരാഗഭയക്രോധ സ്ഥിതധീർമുനിരുച്യതേ. ദുഃഖേഷു മീൻസ് ആധ്യാത്മികാദിഷു പ്രാപ്തേഷു ന ഉദ്വിഗ്നം ന പ്രക്ഷുഭിതം ദുഃഖപ്രാപ്തോ മനോ യസ്യ സ്വയം അനുദ്വിഗ്നമന. There are three types of distress: adhyatmikam, adi bhautikam, adi devikam. We know, everybody knows that, isn't it? The three miseries in this world: adhyatmikam, adi bhautikam, adi devikam. Adi bhautikam is the miseries we get from the world outside. Adi devikam is due to the loss of nature, Prakriti inflicting on us, for example, drought, cyclone, things like that. That's all Adidevigam. And Adibhautigam is the, in fact, from the world outside. Adhyalpigam is all the problems happening in the body, mind and senses, which is happening from inside. So these three kinds of distress, all distress will fall into one of these three. There is no distress outside these three: adhyatmikam, adibhautikam, adidevikam. Right? So when all these three distresses comes, if the mind is not getting disturbed, right, and he is one, what Krishna calls it as anudvignamana. The word is a dukkeshu anudvignamana. No udvegam comes at that time, such a person. Right? Tatha sukheshu, similarly, sukheshu vigadaspriha. So, sukheshu prapteshu vigada spriha trishna yasyana agni iva indhanadhyam dhane sukhany anuvivardhadesa vigada spriha. What that means is, when sukham comes, happiness comes, he does not enjoy it. No anandam inside. What he said before, that if we are sukheshu vigada spriha, then Krishna is saying, you can be dukkeshu anidvignamana. Right? In other words, when you put fire, wood into the fire, how the fire burns. Similarly, you don't, when happiness comes, you don't get excited. Like when the wood is thrown into a fire, and fire catches the wood, and then it burns big way. Similarly, when a lot of happiness comes in life, you don't get excited in that way. That is what is called sukheshu anudignam vigadaspraha. Sukheshu vigadaspraha. Vida raga bhaya krodha. Raga cha bhayam cha krodha. Krodha cha vida vigada yasmad sa vida raga bhaya krodha sidhadi siddha prajna muni. Ragam bhayam krodham. Attachment, fear and anger. That is vida raga bhaya krodham. Such a person is Sthita Prajna. Krishna is saying such a person is Sthita Prajna. So, this Sthita Prajna, it is in two stages it happens. First stage is Samadhi stage. And second stage is called Uttana Dasha. Samadhi Dasha, Uttana Dasha. Right? Samadhi, so Samadhi stage is one, what he spoke about in the 55th verse. And so, you have given up all your desires, kamana, yeah, all desires have gone, and established in the self and enjoying that bliss of the self, right? But when he is doing vyavaharam, which is another state, then he will also also get anandam and sukham. But when they come, what will be his situation? That's what Krishna is talking about. Any amount of distress comes, anudignamana, not movement inside, yeah? Mind does not get affected under any circumstances, right? Why is that? Sukheshu vigadaspriha, he says. The reason why he does not get disturbed when distress comes in life is because sukheshu vigadaspriha. I don't know how psychiatrist talks about all these things. I don't know, no idea. Krishna's point is like this, that if you are getting disturbed when distress comes in life, the reason for that is you have attachment for sukham, happiness. If you have attachment for happiness, when distress comes in life, you will suffer from that, right? So the nature of our mind is, our nature of everyone's mind is, wants happiness, distress should not come. This is the normal way the mind works, right? And this is the way mind functions like that, right? Or you can say the pattern of the mind is like that. Pattern of the mind is like that, right? Or what you say, pattern of the movement of the mind is like that. That means it wants a sukham, it does not want a dukkham. How many places in the Bhagavatam it is discussed, is it not? You know, so many times we talked about it, isn't it? This same issue, this is all, the spiritual life is all about this. Vidura was amazed by wandering around everywhere. Sukhaya karmani karoti logo. The same thing what Krishna is saying here. Sukhaya karmani karoti logo. Nadu sugamba anyadubaramamba. He says, how does it, what do you do with this, he said. Sukham comes, everybody is working in this world for sukham, is it not? We all go to work for what? To get sukham. So that we can enjoy life, is it not? For sukham only. But always sukham doesn't come, dukham is coming. What should we do? Anyadubaramamba, he said. Vindeda bhuyasada eva dukham. Bhagavan Vadena, he says, tell me what we're supposed to do. It's an amazing thing, is it not? That everybody is looking for sukham, but dukham comes. Yeah. So sukham should come, dukham should not come. In Valmiki Ramayanam, if Ramachandra has thought like this, right, then at the time of crowning, when he was crowned as a king, right, there would have been a big revolution, would have happened, right? And when everybody announced in the palace that Ramchandra is going to be installed as the king, right? Suppose if Ramchandra was overjoyed with that, and when it was blocked by Kaikeyi and Mantra and all that, Ramachandra would have fallen into great distress. But what do you see in Ramayanam? Ramachandra didn't feel at all when this thing happened. You can imagine a prince going to be installed as a king. Big power, big position, everything. You see 4 years you become a prime minister, how much happy they are. That's only for 4 years or 5 years. This is for life. So how much happiness Ramachandra should have had normally? Isn't it? You sometimes wonder these politicians, isn't it? For a few years, power gives them so much happiness. And some of them go for 1 year and they lose it after that. And then they feel so depressed. They go on a long holiday then, after that. Because they couldn't handle the depression after the, when they were thrown out, right? So, this is not Ramchandra's story. Ramachandra is a Siddhaprajna. He knows these things. Is it not? This is our story. That's what it is, right? So, if we were told, we would have ready straight away, got dressed, ready for the crown, right? So, and the next day, the whole Ayodhya would have been, there should have been a big festival. The whole city would have been in a festival mood, is it not? So, next day, Dasharatha called him and told him that 9 plus 5, 14 years, you should stay in the forest. He told him, right? And when Kaikeyi said that, put that conditions on Dasharatha, right? Not even for a moment, Ramachandra reacted to it. He acted completely different, totally unaffected by that. So, he did not even think about it. Why? The mind was not working. That much mind was kept in control. Mind did not even analyze it. If the mind has analyzed it, it will cause problems. So mind was not given any opportunity. So when the mind analyzes things, that's when all the sankalpam starts coming. Thoughts starts coming inside, right? You can see how many things we think about it so much. Everything in life, you keep analyzing backwards and forwards. This should be done like this, should be done like that, right? So, to remain like this, without giving any second gap, he said, so be it, so what? 14 years only, it's no problem. I'm going, he said. And he was able to live like that. So, how was he able to say that? Ramachandra was able to say that. You see, the problem here is, we are thinking of Ramachandra as an incarnation and all that. When you start looking at them as an incarnation, whether it is Krishna or Ramachandra, anybody for that matter, we are expecting from, oh, after all, he is an incarnation, isn't it? We will say like that. But that is not how you study Bhagavad Gita. Because personalities, Ramachandra or Krishna and all that, they are teaching us the science of spiritual life. How, through their life in this world, they are teaching the process. How to conduct yourself in this world, right? So, how was Ramachandra able to say that, right? What normal people will do? Oh, he is an incarnation, he can do anything he wants. We are ordinary people. What can we do? We will make this excuse and we will leave the whole thing, right? So Ramachandra has appeared if you give him this title as an incarnation, we will not further go in spiritual life. If you start thinking, oh, he's an incarnation, he can do anything he wants, he's God, so therefore, after all, he is God, he can do anything. We cannot do that. We cannot follow him. That means you won't get any benefit from this spiritually, right? What did Ramachandra do? Immediately he agreed with what was said, right? When he was informed about this crowning as installed as a king, right? He didn't show any emotions externally, any emotions, right? At the same time, Lakshmana was there, right? Lakshmana behaved in a different way, right? And he behaved like an ordinary human being. Why did Valmiki put all these things, behavior, different patterns, to teach us? All incarnations, the purpose of coming here is to help us to advance in spiritual life for us. And all their pastimes, leela, everything is for that purpose. If we understand it like that, then you will know how to study these pastimes, the tattvam behind it, and learn from that. Otherwise, if you just think like this, oh, he is Ramachandra, he can do anything he wants. This is Krishna, can do anything he wants. We cannot do all these things. We cannot kill like the way he killed Putana. We cannot kill Shakadasura and other. That is not how you study Bhagavatam or Ramayanam, right? So Lakshmana, when he heard that Ramachandra is going to be installed as a king, he was very happy that Ramachandra is becoming the king, right? So, and when Lakshmana heard that Dasharatha is not agreeable now because of Kaikeyi, Lakshmana said, I'll kill Dasharatha now, on the spot. I'm going to kill him, he said, right? Is there a father like this, he said, just because a woman has said something, and without thinking anything further, going and doing all these things like that, right? And I'm going to set fire to the whole Ayodhya, he said. Lakshmana said like this. Lakshmana's anger inside about it, right? So, at that time, Ramachandra, completely undisturbed inside, totally in control, says to Lakshmana, give him Tattva Jnanam at that moment. Tattvopadesham to Lakshmana. Ramachandra does that, right? In Ramayanam, that part is unbelievably well known. It's so well known. This part where Ramachandra's teaching Lakshmanopadesham, it is famous. Because this is what you get from Ramayanam. That how these great personalities is teaching the method, how to live in this world. That is what this verse is. Dukkeshu anudignamana. Sukheshu vigadaspraha vida raga bhaya krotha. Yeah? So, yeah. So, Ramachandra says to Lakshmana, Lakshmana, think like this. Till yesterday, Kaikeyi had nothing against us. Kaikeyi was a good mother. In fact, they loved Kaikeyi more than even Kausalya. She was so good to them, right? So, she, till yesterday, was so favorable to us, and suddenly she has changed her mind, right? And did that happen by her own? Did that happen, right? We will say that Mandara came in between and Mandara influenced her and things like that. But what was Ramchandra's logic? Ramchandra's logic was like this. He says to her, what we are supposed to go through in this life, it has come through them to us. So you can see, we will blame everybody else in this world, all the sufferings of this life. But actually, Ramachandra is saying to Lakshmana, what comes to us in life is all what we have done in the past. It's coming now, through somebody else, it's coming to us, right? So, whatever is happening, right? Whatever has to happen, will happen. Ramachandra says to Lakshmana, right? So, just like the puppeteer keeps the puppets in front of him and make the puppet to play, keeping our destiny, prarabdham, in us, right? And keeping this, our body, as the center, whatever karma vasana has to flow through this body till the last bit, till we leave this world, making us to go through all that karma, what we have to go through, prarabdham, and controlling that, Antaryami is doing it. Ramachandra says to Lakshmana. Now, we may think that, oh, Lakshmana didn't know all these things. Lakshmana knows, but they are performing this pastime, and through Ramayanam, Valmiki is teaching us this. This is the principle behind it. Antaryami has to get a certain amount of prarabdham exhausted through this body. And Antaryami will do it no matter what happens in this world. And because it is like that, when suffering comes, Ramchandra says to Lakshmana that it should be seen in that way. And our freedom in this, what freedom do we have, he says, to know that you are not that one. Because it is all happening for the ahangaram. Is it not? Real self does not have prarabdham. Ahangaram has gone prarabdham. So knowing that you are not that ahangaram, instead you are that andaryami inside and able to remain free from the impact of all these things, that is the freedom what you have got. That's all what you have got. That freedom you have, he says, right? So one should remain like that, knowing this, and remain unaffected by that and independent with what is happening to the body and the mind. Yeah. So this was the message Ramachandra taught Lakshmana at that time. Independent inside all the time, completely independent, right? Body, external body, let it stay in the forest or elsewhere, whether it is remaining staying in Ayodhya or whether it stays in the forest, what does it matter? Ramchandra says, right? And whatever it may be, you have to remain within the self, within yourself, in other words, on the spiritual platform, right? Now you are saying, in the Ayodhya, in the kingdom, in the body, or in the forest. Actually, you are not staying in the body, you are not staying in the forest, you are not staying in Ayodhya either, right? We are actually supposed to be staying within ourselves, as real self, right? Swarupam. So if the perfection is there inside, because it's not perfect, that realization is not there, you have got the problems, Ramachandra says. And if that perfection is there, whether you are in the forest or whether you are in the palace, you will be happy. Therefore, you should not get distressed over this. Dukheshu anidvignamana, sukheshu vigadaspriha, vidaraga bhaya krodha, siddhadhir muniruchyate. When sukham comes, if you don't get disturbed over it, I mean, when sukham comes, you don't get excited over that. And suppose you are thinking, Dasharatha is telling them to go to forest. Life in the forest is not going to be pleasant like in the palace. In the palace, so much comfort. Kshatriyas, isn't it? So much comfort, right? Now, if you take this comfort in the palace seriously, then you won't be able to leave the palace, right? Sometimes you can see some people, they get a position, they get so attached to it, and when they have to leave the position, they become very depressed. They are losing the chair, is it not, right? So it is because of this only because of this, what Ramchandra spoke. Sri Shuka Brahmarshi, in Srimal Bhagavatam, he glorified Ramchandra with these fantastic words. What did he say? Tektva sudupsida surepsida rajya lakshmim ekadasha skandam dharmeshta arya vajasa yadaga adaranyam maya mrigam deidayipsida manyadhaval vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. In two verses, Shiva Brahmarshi glorifies first Ramachandra and then Krishna. The first verse, Ramachandra is glorified with this verse. And what did he find in Ramachandra so interesting? Tektva sudupsida surepsida Rajya Lakshmi. That Rajya Lakshmi, which is so difficult to get, even heavenly planets, they want to have that position. They have that desire to get this princely, the kingdom of Ayodhya. Because it was so opulent at that time. Ayodhya was so opulent, even the residents of the heavenly planets wants to have that. And that heavenly, that throne, he threw it away, tektva, sudupsida, surepsida, rajyalakshmim, dharmishta, aryavajasa, yadaga adaranyam. Because the father said, told him to go, he was willing to go to the forest. So you can see that mind of Ramachandra, that he was like useless thing, he threw it away. He didn't care for it. Yadagadaranyam. And then Mayamragam Maida Ipsadam Anyodhaval Vande Mahapurushade Charnaravindam. That means inside he had no attachment to that throne. And that is the principle what Krishna is teaching us. If you have no attachment for happiness, you won't suffer when distress comes in life. This great principle is what is being taught in Ramayanam through that verse. And Shuka Brahmarshi caught on that. That nature, that detachment inside, renunciation inside of Ramachandra. So he kept that in his mind, and Shuka Brahmarshi mentioned that in Ekadasa Skandam when he came to that Nivinava Yogi Samvadam. That's where it comes, isn't it? So you can see that how great personality is, how conscious they are about these things. Yeah. So Krishna, Ramachandra says there, he was able to leave it without like this, he walked out from that position, right? So, what did Ramachandra say about Kaikeyi? You can see that's also interesting. About Kaikeyi, what he had to say. Look at this, he says, Kaikeyi loves me so much. That's why he's giving, allow me to go to the forest. Because Kaikeyi knows my mind. Ramachandra says, right? And this responsibility of administration of the kingdom is a very difficult job. It's not a very pleasant job, king's duty, right? And she gave that responsibility to her son, Bharata, and told me, you go to the forest and enjoy your life comfortably there. And thinking about my benefit, by my welfare, she was willing to do this for me, right? How should I thank her for this? See, read Ramchandra's heart to say, make a statement like this. That means Ramchandra didn't make any complaint against Kaikeyi. Instead, was able to take it in a positive way for what Kaikeyi has done, right? So that is what Krishna's principle here. That who can think like the way Ramchandra has thought about it, right? Why did that happen to him? Why did such a thing happen? Because this bhavam, what Ramchandra had shown, how was he able to show that? Don't keep thinking that Ramchandra is God, Ramchandra is God. Don't think like that. Ramchandra, you have to see like a, you remember, he has come to this world to teach us dharmam, isn't it? Raman Vigrahavan Dharmam. That he is a Vigrama of Dharma. Vigraham, deity of Dharmam he is, right? So, only a person whose Shraddha is inside, in the Andaryami, and one who is settled down there very well, only such a person can do this. If your mind is in the world outside, you won't be able to do this. What Ramchandra has done, right? If your mind is in the world or your Shraddha is in the world, then what will happen? When happiness comes, you will be extremely blissed out. Is it not? And similarly, when distress comes, you are finished. That is the nature of the people in this world. When happiness comes in life, you don't know what to do then. You will be a round-the-world ticket. And holiday after holiday, and maximum you can get happiness out of the world, you will go for that, is it not? The human nature, I'm saying, big rich people see how they celebrate their success, right? So, that also, Ramchandra has shown that example here, right? Ramchandra gave up the kingdom, went to the forest, right? And all the people in Ayodhya, people who are present in Ayodhya, they all went along with him, with Ramachandra. They also went to the forest, right? Imagine the whole population of Ayodhya, they are saying to him, from now on, we are not going to stay here in Ayodhya. We won't eat anything anymore. We won't drink anything, because they wanted him to be the king. Ramchandra was so well known. that they wanted him to be king, and this came, and Kaikeyi has put this spanner. We will say like that, Kaikeyi has put the spanner, Dasharatha told him to go, right? So they said that as a protest, like the Cockroach Janata Party or something like that. These lot got ready everything, all ready to go, right? And they said, we are going with Ramachandra, and they all started getting ready to go to the forest, right? They got into the Sarayu River, right? When they got there, everybody started feeling sleepy. They are ordinary people, are they not? Right? So, for ordinary people, certain things, they cannot control it, avoid it, right? Mainly these two things, eating and sleeping. It's very difficult for them to control. So, so when it comes to eating and sleeping, that will be more important than Krishna or Ramachandra. It's normal like that. First you have to have prasadam, and then you have some rest, and then we can dance. And we'll say, oh, Krishna consciousness is so beautiful. It's, everything is wonderful then. Spiritual life is wonderful. After had prasadam and some good rest. So these two things, eating, sleeping, is very difficult to go beyond than that, right? So at that time, eating, sleeping is primary, Krishna is secondary. Krishna is secondary, right? So here what happened was, when they got to Sarayu River, Ramachandra left them there, and he left. He left, right? When they woke up in the morning, Ramachandra was not there, right? So could they not have gone then looking for him, right? No. They said, no, we have to go home, because children have to go to school. Who's going to look after them? So attachment to the home has come back, right? Our bhakti is all in that level only. Majority in this world is like that. Bhakti is not so easy as we say about it. Bhakti is all subject to conditions only. And we will put that conditions. If that conditions are met, we will say we are a devotee. We are agreeable for bhakti. Otherwise, bhakti and all later, we'll talk about it later. Right? So all of them came back to Ayodhya. Nobody inquired further where Ramachandra has gone. Ramachandra crossed to Sarayu and went further ahead with it. Right? So they came back to Ayodhya, and these same people, and also when Bharata left, Bharata wanted to see Ramachandra. So he started the journey, right? This happened later on. And Bharata, big discussion going on in the palace. Bharata was very upset when Kaikeyi has spoken this way. Bharata didn't want that. Bharata wanted Ramachandra to be there. And he got angry with Kaikeyi for that, his own mother, for putting these conditions. And then he also got angry with Dasharatha for forcing him to go to forest. Bharata didn't want the kingdom. You could see that Bharata is glorified for that behavior, right? And then what happened was, Bharata decided to bring him back, Ramachandra, from the forest. So he was going to the forest. Immediately all these people started again with Bharata to help him to bring Ramachandra back. They also went with him. They came to Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram, right? And when they got there, in Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram, there was nothing there. It's an ashram, isn't it? A hut. And Bharadwaja Maharshi is performing his penances there, right? when they got there, Bharadwaja Maharshi, this huge population of Ayodhya, with Bharata had come there. And Bharadwaja Maharshi told them, we will give you prasadam, no problem, he said. And Bharata was thinking, where are they going to give prasadam? There's nothing there's no food, no grains, no vegetables, no milk, nothing. Bharadwaja is offering a big feast for all of them, right? and Bharata has come with the whole army and with all the population all together, right? So Bharadwaja Maharshi said that, don't worry about it, I will organize everything. And he organized everything. What was his organization? He said, that is the Agnishala, And he got inside that Agnishala where the Yagam was performed. And he did a homam there, in that homam, right? After the homam was done, within few minutes, there was a huge prasadam hall, a big kitchen, and all the ingredients were there, cooking was there, and all cooking was done by beautiful girls who have come from the heavenly planets. Bharadwaja Maharshi's power, yeah? Able to do that, right? They all appeared, all women from the heavenly planets. And they, within few minutes, they prepared the feast, was ready. And the feast was real feast. What we call as a, like we saw now in the, you can only see it now in the YouTube, 500 preparations. For one who cannot even eat anything. So what's the point in giving 500 preparations to someone? You can look at all that different things and say, oh, they are all looking very nice, right? So, so these people who had come from Ayodhya, that Bharadwaja Maharshi told them that, are you ready for the feast now? You can come and sit down, he said. And made them to sit down in the Prasadam hall. And so these people who have come from Ayodhya, they started talking to each other. We never knew that all this was there in the forest before. Had we known this, we would have come before. We didn't know anything about it, they said. And if we knew about this, we would not have put a lot of effort. We would have come before. And then they said, we are not going back to Ayodhya. Because the feast was so good. They never tasted a feast like this in their life before. Cooked by the specialists from the higher planets, right? You can imagine their cooking. Not like our E471 and all that. It's not there in their vegetables and the kind of things what we eat here. Proper milk, proper yogurt, everything fantastic, right? So what happened was, the people who had come, the life was so excellent, enjoyable, they are saying to Bharata, we are not coming with you to see Ramachandra. And we are not going back to Ayodhya either. We are staying here because of the comforts. Bharadwaja Maharshi, with his yogi power, he created a situation that they couldn't go from there. They were so attracted by that, right? So they said, we are not going to Dandakaranyam, where Ramachandra, they heard that Ramachandra is in Dandakaranyam. We are not coming to Dandakaranyam, nor we are going back to Ayodhya. We are staying here in Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram, they said. And he said, let Rama be happy in the forest, let Kaikeyi be happy in Ayodhya, and we will be happy here. This is how we are. Ordinary people, they are saying that, right? So, let Rama be happy there, and Bharata be happy in Ayodhya, he said. So, and we will also be happy here, they said like that, right? So, this is how it is. If we get a good feast, it makes you suddenly to change your way of thinking, in other words, right? Then, when Sukham, that's what I'm saying, this example is to teach us this principle. When Sukham came, you got completely carried away by that. When Sukham came, right? But after they finished the feast, the whole thing disappeared. Feast was over. All the women who cooked the feast, they have gone. The prasadam hall also disappeared. Everything has gone, right? And suddenly it was like a dream for them, right? So then they got up from their seats, right? this experience we had, what Bharadwaja Maharshi has arranged it for them, Bharadwaja Ashramam was like this. It will come and it is gone. It has gone, right? So, if you don't have attachment for this, that attachment, sticking to something due to happiness, if you don't stick to happiness, then even though this only happened for a short period of time, they were sticking to it. The people who had come from Ayodhya, they got attached to it and they wanted it badly, right? And they started thinking how nice it is here in Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram with all these facilities, right? So, sukham dukham is like this. This is an example for that. Yeah. If you stick to sukham, then if you don't get sukham, dukham will come. But if you don't stick to sukham, dukham won't affect you. This is the big principle in this, what Krishna is trying to give understanding of that, right? So, this is an important principle to be taken on board everyone's life. When sukham comes, if you do not take it, if you don't get attached to it, then when dukkham comes, you won't get disturbed. That is the nature of sukham dukkham. This principle, sukham dukkham, works like this, right? So, for example, when you go to when you go to places like Kedarnath, Badrinath, and all that, when you're going on your pilgrimage, for example, yeah, ordinary people, nowadays, you know, a lot of spiritual tourism is going on. So all these tourist operators, they are making money out of it now. And when you go to India now, what you see, everybody is a pilgrim now. They're always on a pilgrimage. Everybody is going on some pilgrimage or the other. It has become like that. It's because it's a big industry now going on, right? So when they go to these places, they want to be comfortable also. They want breakfast, they want lunch, they want dinner, all on time. And in those places, it's a bit difficult to organize everything. But now, things are changing. They also realize that there is money to be made, and tourism to work. So it changes, it's not pilgrims anymore. It's more like tourism now. Everything. Previously, once you leave Haridwar, it was pretty difficult to find proper places to eat, proper places to rest. And you will see sadhus walking all the way to Kedarnath and Badrinath, days together. And they will eat whatever little they get, either from the villages, and which is completely different than what's happening in the modern times, right? Now it is so organized. Everything is so organized. It's like going on a holiday. Going to Kedarnath and Badrinath, it's like going on a holiday. And they've arranged even helicopter services now, if you don't have much time, that you can go and come back from there. So the thing is that the principle is this, that sukham, if you get attached to, then when dukkham comes, you will suffer. If you learn this art of not to get attached to sukham, when dukkham comes, you won't get disturbed over that, right? So, this principle that wherever you go, you find it difficult, this minimum things, the tapas is not there, able to tolerate that I don't have these things, I should still be able to survive even in that situation, right? And we are like this. If all our eating, sleeping, business and all is taken care, then we are ready to go even to Vaikuntham, Kailasam and all that. As tourists, we are willing to go there, right? So this is the situation. If you have no, you are not sticking to sukham, then you won't be frightened about dukkham. You won't be fearful about dukkham. Actually, there is no thing called dukkham. Krishna is going to say that, right? All depends on your addiction. To what extent you are addicted, right? So, what you are addicted, if you are not getting it, that is called dukkham. Yeah? So, just like a person who smokes cigarettes, if he doesn't get the cigarettes, he feels miserable, is he not? Right? So a person who doesn't have the habit of smoking is not feeling that suffering. So, what basically it means that what you are addicted to, that's what it wanted. You want it, you don't. Same thing with coffee drinking, tea drinking, and all that, right? You know, many people, when they don't get their morning coffee, how they become very depressed and disturbed, right? But one who doesn't drink coffee, he doesn't feel any, he's not missing anything. He's not feeling the suffering of that. Because he doesn't have the habit, right? So, artificially, in life, we have got attached to many things like this, comforts in this way. And when we have to leave that, that's when dukkham comes. Yeah? And that is what he is saying there. Sukheshu vigada spriha. You are not, sukheshu vigada spriha means you are not sticking to sukham. Sukham is not you are looking for. And therefore what? Dukheshu anidvignamana. So they are connected each other. The first, dukheshu anidvignamana and sukheshu vigada spriha. They are connected each other. If you have sukheshu vigada spriha, if you have sukheshu vigada spriha, then you will have dukkheshu anidvignamana. Anidvignamana. So no matter any big heavy distress happens in life, like birth or death or whatever it may be, even the death, one who knows this tattvam, he will not move inside. Inside won't be disturbed. So many things can happen in life, is it not? So many different types of distress can come for any one of us at any time, right? So there is a beautiful story about this, and you may have heard about his name, Ishwarchandra Vidyasagar, a famous personality who lived in Calcutta that time. And he had studied Bhagavad Gita very well and analyzed it very well. All these principles, he has taken it very much into the heart and followed them, right? His son died. And son died, and there was some meeting was arranged in his house from other people who were supposed to come and meet him, right? So son's dead body was lying in another room, and the meeting was happening in this room. Next room, son's dead body was lying there. He didn't tell anyone that the son is dead. The people had come for the meeting. The meeting started. He didn't tell them about it. The son was lying dead there. Meeting continued. So, once he had some files or papers kept in the next room. So, someone wanted to go and bring that paper from the next room, right? So, he told him, Ishwarchandra Vidyasagar told him that, be careful, my son's dead body is lying there. He said, right? If you see that body, don't get disturbed over that. After this meeting is over, after that I have to get him body cremated. Father is saying this about the son. So see that inside of Ishwarchandra Vidyasagar, right? Because Vidyasagar knew this, what has to happen has happened, right? And as Krishna said, jadasya hi dhruva mrityu, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha tasmad aparihariyarthe natvam shochitum arhasi. It has happened, right? And one day everything will go, body will also go. So, and we are holding on to all this, this body also, we are holding on to it very strongly, but it will leave us, right? Similarly, relations will all go, body will also go, and your health will also go, everything will go, your beauty will go, your teeth will go, your hair will go, right? So, one who knows these things, viyoga dukkham, that's what he's saying here. Vida raga bhaya krodha. What is the secret? He has no ragam. Vida ragam. There is no ragam. No attachment, right? And because he got all these things, he has no attachment to anything. Ragam is not there. Ragam, therefore, because he has no ragam, he has no fear, no bhayam because of that, right? So, if you are attached to something, there will be fear. Feeling that, will I lose it one day? Like we fear about our own body, our money, whatever it is, right? So when you have that attachment there, there will be fear about it, right? So, and if you touch your own heart, you will know that what is actually causing the fear, right? Many things in life is like this. One day they are all going to go. They are not going to stay here, right? Position, one thing. People are worried about that. People who hold big positions, in big companies or in the government and all, they are very conscious of that. Will I lose this position? Because every little thing they did, they have done, it can become a big issue. And it comes in the press. If something goes wrong, what decision they have made, is it not? Position could be affected by that. Similarly, people who are very famous in this world, they are always conscious that they are very famous. They will be very attached to that. Similarly, people who are very close to them, relations, or people, family members, they are very worried about their situation, whether they are safe in this world. You can see that very rich people, they arrange security guard for their family members. Wherever they go, there's two people this side, two people this side, two at the back, two in the front. You can always see that. In so nowadays, particularly, it's more than any other time, right? So that is one fear. And then your own health. Some problem comes, you become fearful. What's going to happen, right? So that is why Bhartrihari said that famous verse, Bhoge Roga Bhayam. Everywhere there is fear inside. Yeah. Now what else? He says, suppose I'll enjoy my life, then also you are fearful. If I enjoy too much, what will happen to the body? Everybody knows that if you exploit the body too much, then you will get some sickness from that. Yeah. And similarly, if you are born in a higher family, royal family and all that, they have to always be careful that you don't get a bad name. And similarly, if the children don't behave properly, children have gone in the wrong way in life, then you are fearful about that, right? Kule Chudibayam. Similarly, those who have got a lot of wealth, they are fearful about HMRC. Every time you are looking at them, right? And similarly, if you are famous, to the extent you are famous in this world, to that extent fearful. People can say anything about you and write so many things about you in the media and all that. So, whereas a simple person who lives in a village, nobody even knows those village, right? In a very, very, very simple level there, nobody will say anything about him. He doesn't have anything, right? So, to the extent you become famous in this world, in public life, and to that extent, public will also be involved in your life. They will make you suffer from that, right? So to the extent you are famous or you are popular, to that extent the fear also. You know, in America, when after this 9/11 happened, what happened was, right, straight after that, everyone, people used to keep beard. Everybody shaved up after that. Because 9/11 with Bin Laden. See, Bin Laden had that big beard, is it not? So local people started thinking, is he one among them? People who had beard, they started getting frightened. So everybody shaved up. Nobody had beard for quite some time then. They won't keep the beard, right? So so this was the effect of that 9/11, right? And so the thing is this, that as you become powerful or famous, you become very fearful about the world. You become fearful about the world, right? Similarly, if you have a lot, if you are a very beautiful person, man or woman, if you are very beautiful, always fearful that will this beauty will stay? One day I will lose this beauty. Is it not? That fear will always be there inside. Yeah? So, and that's why sometimes if you look at people, those who are very beauty conscious, they will very often take the mirror and look at it to see if it is still in order, if it is staying there. This is all the nature of this world, right? And men will look, do like this and do like this and make sure that everything is in order. And the hair is going white and the teeth is falling off, right? And angam galidam phalidam dundam dashana vihinam jatam tundam. Yeah, that's what it is, right? Similarly, those who have studied Shastram, they will be fearful about someone else who is more learned than me in this way. and then fear of that. So, normally they say, whether you have the knowledge or not, whatever you know, whatever you have to say, you should speak with this in the strong language. You should present it, right? So then, people who are not much knowledgeable, they will start thinking you've got a lot of knowledge if you speak with a lot of strength behind it, right? And similarly, one who has got good qualities, he'll be fearful that somebody else will find something fault in him. That fear, right? Above all these things, Bhartrihari says, above all these things, as long as you have this body, he says, death will come. That fear will be there. As much as you get closer to death, that fear will get stronger inside. Many years in life, you live in this world thinking that, oh, death will come much later. In that way, you carry on with your life, and you'll go on as many holidays as possible, and somehow or the other, because inside that fear is working. That is why it is like that. You may not be conscious of that, but that fear will be there, that death is going to come. But when you get closer to death, that fear will become stronger inside, right? Yeah. For example, Hitler, how many people has he killed? Is he not? Right? And he won't sleep at night. If you read about the story about Hitler, you will see this, right? He had 4 men guarding his room outside. He was so scared that somebody is going to kill him, right? And then he also had the fear any of these 4 could kill him. He could not trust them either. Imagine, this is their life, these so-called big men. This is their life, yeah? So he couldn't sleep. He was frightened about others, so he had selected 4 people to guard him. And then he was doubtful about the 4 also. Well, could any one of them turn against him? Right? So suddenly, in the sleep, he will get you wake up suddenly from the sleep, right? And even though he killed so many people, he was frightened about death. Hitler. Same thing with Mao Zedong also. Stalin. All are the same. Mussolini. All these big men, they end up like this. Their death, right? So, similarly, everything what we hold on to in life will frighten you. So, because you have accepted that it is yours, so therefore you'll be fearful. And if it is not yours, then you won't be fearful, right? Vairagyam eva abhayam, says Bhartrihari, right? So, so this vairagyam has to come inside, not outwards. Outwardly, you don't have to give up anything. All it is required is, I have no connection with that. That realization is enough. If he knows that tattvam, then when you do the vyavaharam, you can deal with properly, no connection with anything. And if you keep that attachment to anything outside, then you will have, it is not possible to do that, right? Suppose, if you have no connection with anything in the world outside, and you have no connection with anybody, if it is convinced inside, then vairagyam eva abhayam. So, there is nothing higher than that, he says. Then you have become free from fear. So that principle is what Krishna has spoken in this verse. Parikshit Maharaj ultimately said this to whom? To Shubhramarshi. He said that he came to Ganga River with the fear that Takshaka is going to bite him. He was told like that, is it not? You got 7 days time, but then Takshaka will come and bite you and you will die, he said. So 7 days he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Then Sri Shukha Brahmarshi told him, my dear king, I will remove that fear of death from you now, he said, right? Because your fear is dependent on this body, isn't it? He said. Your fear is dependent on the body, right? And Because the body was born, it is meant to die. Body has birth, so therefore body will die, right? But you are not born, right? Therefore you don't have death. Tontu Rajan Marishedi, Pashabuddhi Mimam Jehi. Remember? That second verse itself, yeah? Very powerful verses they are. Na jadaha, na jadaha. You are not born. This is how he removed that fear from inside. Na jadaha, praga bhudodhya, dehavatvam, na nangshasi. The second verse, yeah? Tundurajan marishyedi pashubuddhi mimam jahi. Because I will die one day, that fear, Krishna, this Shukabrahmashi is saying, is pashubuddhi. Animals think like that. Animals think like that. So what did he do? He gave this to him, knowledge to him, that give up this avidya from inside. And when Shukabrahmashi said that, Parikshit was able to give up that avidya straight away. The effect of Shukabrahmashi on Parikshit, right? He told him, you are not born. Na jadaha, you are not born, right? And tatvamasi, you are that vastu. Parama vastu, andaryami, inside. And if you remain separately from that andaryami, separately if you think that you are existing, then then you will die. But you are not separate from him. That is why, aham, then that famous verse, aham brahma param dhamam, brahma aham paramam padam, evam samikshan altmanam, altmanyathaya nishkale. Right. So, you can see how Shukabrahmashi put that verse. Aham brahma param dhamam, brahma aham paramam padam. This way, that way, both. Aham brahma param dhamam, brahma aham paramam padam. Yeah? What he is saying here is that, my dear king, this state where you want to be, Vaikuntha stage, or Krishna Swarupam, that's what means, Krishna Swarupam, and that is available here now. And from that, do not move away from that. Remain in that state, and he is present inside you all the time as Andaryami, right in the center. He is fully present within you. And he said like that, aham brahma param dhamam brahma aham paramam padam. And that paramam padam, what you are thinking about, you don't have to meditate upon that, you have to think about that. Evam samikshan, samyak, your shraddha should fall on that. Do you understand this? This state does not come to you by intellectual activities, through mind, or through your meditation, or through your sadhana. When the right person tells you, and if your shraddha falls on that, business is over. That's all it is. Shukabrahmashi spoke, told him that. Parikshit was fully ready for it. When they came together, it all just happened straight away. That is why this Jnanamargam's beauty is that it's not happening through sadhana. It's not happened. What sadhana Parikshit has done? Nothing. No sadhana he has done. Is he not? He just came there. But vairagyam was there. That was the vairagyam what was required, he had it. And added to that, Krishna's mercy also, obviously, it was there. That is what has resulted in this. Krishna decided to protect him. So ultimately, in that verse, aham brahma param dhamam, brahma aham paramam padam, evam samikshan altmanam, altmanyadhaya nishkale, right? So, all Shukabrahmashi told him that you drop all your shraddha, attention, on that aham, brahmam. Aham is that brahmam. Aham brahma, aham brahmasmi, it is brahmam, that way, right? Samikshan. He didn't tell him you think about it, you didn't tell him you meditate on that, he told him, let your shraddha fall on the andaryami. That's all it is required, right? That is why that word samikshan. Samikshan means ikshanam. Ikshanam means your shraddha falling on that, right? Because this vastu andaryami, you already got it. Everyone has it. No need to meditate upon that. No need to think about it. Only your shraddha has to fall on that. And that is where our problem is. We got used to this meditation business And we ought to understand it first through our mind and intelligence. That's all at the end is a waste of time. It's not going to help. Till the Shraddha falls on the Antaryami, Krishna is saying here the same thing, right? It is like they give this example that you have got this garland lying on your, this chain on your neck, and you don't have to think about it, meditate on that. Only your Shraddha has to fall on that, and then it's there. So it's a mere fact, right? It's there. So that is why that line, evam samikshan altmanam, to understand this properly, evam samikshan altmanam, samikshan means your Shraddha should fall on that, altmanyadhaya nishkale, that fall your attention on that aham Shraddha inside. So with that, Parikshit got established in the Surupam, in his spiritual identity. He has fallen on that. So, and be established there, said Shuka Brahmarshi to him. Altmanam altmanyadhaya nishkale. So, kale, nishkale. Kala means that sharira sambandham, connection with the body, right? Angam. So, able to remain in the spiritual position or your spiritual identity while remaining there, not being connected to the body. Sharira sambandham, right? then, if you are staying in that state, Shuka Brahmarshi is saying, if you are staying in that state, when Tatchaka comes and bites you, you won't be even aware of that, because you have broken away with the body, right? So, then he says, you won't know about that, and Tatchaka, who is going to bite you, and due to Tatchaka's biting, the pain from that, and this world, which is outside, all these things doesn't exist anymore. They don't exist separately from that bodham, Antaryami, separately from that. Of course, this we can only talk about it. But how do we experience it? That is a question, isn't it? Which is a very big thing, to experience this in level, right? So he, Shuka Brahmarshi, spoke these things. Tatchakas won't be there. And the pain from Tatchaka's biting won't be there. And the world also won't be there, separately from this bodham, consciousness inside, right? So, because you are in that state then, samadhi state, right? So, Tatchaka damshanam, Tatchaka's biting, you won't know that. And that is where the abhayam is. Yeah? You remember? Abhayam, he talked about that. When Bhagavatam was began, he spoke about, that is why in the next verse you see, dashandam tatchakam pade lelihanam mishananai nadrakshasi shariramcha vishwamcha prathakalmana. Means Tatchaka, Tatchaka's biting, Tatchaka's poison, and your body, bitten by Tatchaka, and this world, none of them exist at that stage. It all become that one bodham inside, Antaryami inside. Yeah. So you can see in 13 verses, process is over. Till up to this fifth chapter, everything what was spoken before that is because he had 7 days' time. That's all. So you have to while away the time also, is it not? So 7 days, Parikshit said, let me hear about Krishna. Moment Shuka Brahmarshi arrived there, they all knew that. And somebody was suggesting yagam, somebody was suggesting yogam. Shuka Brahmarshi said, no yagam, no yogam. Simply talk about Krishna. And at the end time, and you remember when he started Bhagavatam, he said that, I will put you into that fearless state, he said, abhayam. Abhayam stage. And that he kept his word at the end, right? So, what abhayam means, he showed it to him. And then Parikshit told him that you are immensely merciful, right? Without that mercy, I wouldn't have realized this, like the way it has happened. How do I, to show this mercy to me, what have I done? And even my father, mother, or my relations cannot give me what you have given to me, he said. And my father, mother, they will give you what they have got with them, right? Mahabali said this, did he not, right? Mahabali said, a guru, what he does is that he, what he does is he takes away everything what you have got. And when he takes away from you things, that's when you become perfect. Parents, they give you everything what you want. But guru takes away everything what you have got. Yeah. So that karunyam, that mercy, to able to, that compassion, what Shukha Brahmarshi has. And you remember, this receiving a mercy of a Mahatma like Shukha Brahmarshi, there's nothing you can repay it with. And it is because of this only, Krishna said, Ascharyavad Pashyadik Ascharyanam. It is Ascharyam this is. This transfer of self-realization from a guru like Shukha Brahmarshi to a disciple like Parikshit, how it has happened and how quickly it has happened. Ascharyavakta Kushalanishishta. Both are Ascharyam. Shukha Brahmarshi is Ascharyam, how he gave it. And Parikshit is an Ascharyam, how he received it. Business is over. No more birth after that. Unbelievable, isn't it? We can only talk about it. But when this will all happen to us, we don't know. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.